Franken, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
That Schultz, Linda Ford.
Randy Rhodes, 48, the best.
Because then again, everything right is on the...
Oh, I listen to Jay a lot. I love Ed.
Al's great.
Randy Rhodes.
Oh, absolutely.
I love it.
Doing a great job.
AM 760.
Boulder's Progressive Talk.
Think of how much cash you have in your wallet or purse right now. Now, double it. Double your money and get things for half price at MileHighMarket.com. MileHighMarket.com has half-price deals from local retailers that would like you to try them for half price. They believe after trying them for half price, you'll become a loyal customer. Drop by MileHighMarket.com today and double the cash in your wallet. That's MileHighMarket.com.
Jay Marvin, Al Franken, Ed Schultz, Andy Rose, The Majority Report, and Mike Malloy. This is AM 760, Progressive Talk.
KKZN, Morton, Denver, Boulder.
CBS News, I'm Steve Cahill. How could it happen? Angry mining families in West Virginia told that 12 of 13 trapped miners were dead almost 3 hours after a survival story was spreading through town. Church bells seemed to signal a midnight miracle for the anxious coal families at Tallmansville when word came somewhat surprisingly that all 12 of the remaining missing miners had been found alive. But less than 3 hours later, the family's joy of celebration turned to unimaginable heartbreak. Long faces and anger revealed the pain of an awful truth.
That's CBS's Bob Orr. Mining executive Ben Hatfield called it a miscommunication, confusion among the rescue crews.
We are incredibly saddened by the horrific loss of these fathers, sons, husbands, and brothers.
Dr. Susan Long has had a look at the lone survivor, a 27-year-old miner.
Minimally conscious, rapidly breathing, low blood pressure. And in order to be safe, we put him on the ventilator and gave him fluid, got his blood pressure up.
She says he showed no signs of carbon monoxide poisoning. It's been another violent day in Iraq. CBS's Pete Gow is in Baghdad.
A suicide bomber wearing an explosive vest has detonated themselves in a large crowd at a funeral in northeast Iraq. As mourners congregated in the cemetery area of the Shia-dominated town of Muqtadiyah, the bomber made his way into the crowd before setting off the explosives. Local hospitals and police report a large number of dead and injured in the attack.
About 30 were killed. 8 others died in a car bombing, and a fuel convoy was attacked today in Iraq as well. More than 600,000 acres has burned in the fires in Texas, Oklahoma, and New Mexico. CBS's Stephen Kaufman says there's no rain in sight.
That's the sound of dry Oklahoma grass in Wawoma. Fire people here very lucky, they say, because this could have gone much larger very quickly. This little sample of grass here, this high grass, this is all over Oklahoma.
In Washington, a super lobbyist deal with prosecutors is likely to rock Congress.
This is John Hartsey in Washington, where officials know one lobbyist guilty plea won't be the end of it.
This is just the beginning. A lot of people have been saying this is just the tip of the iceberg.
Political Stuart Rothenberg says this could be a major political scandal.
People on Capitol Hill should be very nervous.
According to political scientist Larry Sabato, Jack Abramoff is under pressure to name lawmakers and staffers to whom he paid money or benefits for votes on laws favorable to the lobbyist clients.
There are bound to be more than a few who are deeply involved and in trouble.
John Hartsey, CBS News, Washington.
In San Carlos, California, a middle school phys ed teacher has been arrested for allegedly making secret videotapes of girls changing in a locker room. The tapes date back to last year. S&P futures down once. This is CBS News.
My job requires a lot of heavy lifting. Over the years, I developed a lot of back and neck pain. Wife suggested we buy a Tempur-Pedic mattress. And let me tell you, next to marrying her, it's the best decision I ever made. I sleep better, no more pain, it's incredible.
The Tempur-Pedic mattress, guaranteed to give you a better night's sleep. The Tempur pressure relieving material is changing the way the world sleeps. Call 1-800-807-6922 for a 90-day trial certificate. That's 1-800-807-6922.
This is Rocky Moselle with International Star Street. Give someone special to you the gift that will be remembered for years to come. Name a star after them. The Star Registry will name a star after anyone on your gift list for $54 and a call to 800-282-3333 or visit starstreet.com. It's the perfect gift for birthdays, weddings, and just about any occasion. Give the ultimate gift. Call the Star Registry at 800-282-3333 or visit starregistry.com. We proudly support the Starlight Starbright Children's Foundation.
Call the mortgage store today at 303-423-7171.
AM 760, progressive traffic.
And we got us a pretty good drive to start things off this morning, although it's going to be a little bit windy as we work through the morning. Keep in mind, but to this point, all of our highways on the Boulder area and down towards Denver running wide open at this point. No early morning traffic issues to work around other than lights flashing red on Hampton on the east side of the bridge right over I-25. Might start to affect northbound exit ramp. Take a look at your weather today. Mostly sunny. It will be windy. Up to 51 for a high. Mostly sunny. A bit cooler tomorrow. Right around 47 then. Right now it's 25. I'm Aaron O'Neill on AM 760 Boulder's Progressive Time.
It's the big one. It's the Denver Boat Show, January 19th through the 22nd at the Colorado Convention Center. 30 dealers, over 500 new boats, and the best deals of the year with incredible incentives. Discount tickets available at King Supers. Get more info at BoatColorado.org. That's BoatColorado.org.
AM 760. The real story, 24-7 on AM 760.
Jay Marvin, 6 to 10.
Al Franken, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
That show, 1 to 4.
Ricky Rhodes, 48, the best.
Because then again, everything right. Is on.
Oh, I listen to Jay a lot. I love Ed.
Al's great.
Randy Rhodes.
Oh, absolutely.
I love it.
You're doing a great job.
AM 760.
Roll this progressive talk.
The Osgood File, sponsored in part by Hostway.com, your small business website hosting provider. I'm Charles Osgood. Only one of the 13 trapped West Virginia miners has survived.
The only confirmed survivor is Randall L. McCloy, Jr., who has now been rushed to a local hospital in serious condition.
According to the official designation, the other 12 men were found dead, but that was not the word that spread at first.
The initial report from the rescue team to the command center indicated multiple survivors, but that information proved to be a miscommunication.
Ben Hatfield, CEO of the company that owns the mine, International Coal Group, he says the company never confirmed it, but there was such elation at the false good news that it quickly spread anyway.
It was a bad information.
Everybody heard it, though. Families, everybody. And it made the awful truth all the harder to bear, says Jim Crisula of CBS.
Tears, disbelief, resentment, anger, fury, a full range of emotions being felt right now by the family members of the deceased miners, from the highest high to the lowest low.
More after this for Hostway.com. If, like most entrepreneurs, you've dreamed of launching your own online store, but always held back because the prospect of creating an e-commerce website seems so daunting, Hostway.com is here to say that doesn't have to be the case. They'll design and launch your online store or redesign your existing store for as little as $399. Make your e-commerce dreams a reality. Go to HostwayBusiness.com. Get started on your online store today.
Everybody's talking about how Quaker oatmeal helps lower cholesterol.
She had a worry about her cholesterol.
He doesn't know what it means to have a problem. Congratulations, the rest of us have a problem. I decided to eat Quaker oatmeal for 30 days. It just gobbles up cholesterol.
Friends are spreading the word.
Mine went down 12 points. There's the proof.
I have paper showing that my cholesterol dropped 17 points.
I dropped 4 points.
It's true. The soluble fiber from Quaker oatmeal in a low-saturated, low-cholesterol diet may reduce heart disease risk. Quaker oatmeal is something to smile about.
How could this have happened? How could this false story that or all of the miners had survived have possibly gotten out? International Coal's Ben Hatfield.
It appears that this miscommunication from the rescue team underground to the command center was picked up by various people that simply overheard the conversation, was relayed through cell phone communications without our ever having made a release.
But the harm was done. It spread, that story did, unstoppable. And it was relayed by all of those news people who were there on the scene, who then had to reverse themselves and correct what they'd been reporting, and the mining company could only say,
our hearts and prayers go out to each of the 13 families. We are incredibly saddened by the horrific loss of these fathers, sons, husbands, and brothers.
The governor of West Virginia, Joe Manchin, was among those whose joy turned to ashes.
About the confusion, I can't tell you of anything more heart-wrenching that I've ever gone through in my life. Nothing.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Sometimes it takes a combination of medicines to really test cold, but that doesn't mean they can't all come in one package. Introducing Tylenol Chest Congestion with Cool Burst, a unique combination of medicines that can help you feel better in multiple ways by loosening your congestion, making coughs more productive, and relieving the pain that can come with a chest cold. So you can get multiple kinds of relief, but you only need one formula. Stop. Think. Tylenol Chest Congestion. Take only as directed.
The Osgood File. January 4th, 2006.
This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM 760. Boulder's Progressive Talk.
All controversial, but always caring. Jay Marvin at 609, AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk. Good morning. High today, 50 degrees. Man, windy out there yesterday. Woo! You know what I think it did? I think it shut the door on my car because I'd stopped to get some gasoline. You know, now that we're at this peak oil period and energy development, and the wind caught my door. And it doesn't seem to want to, I mean, it shuts and everything, but it sounds different, but it did. So I don't know what's going on with that. And, of course, it's 6:09, 9 minutes after 6, during the no power hour. I'm sure you want to hear about my door and my problems, right? You know, this radio station does stuff we do politics and social issues from a left-wing perspective. This is not exactly a left or right-wing story, but you can't really overlook the story that's exploded all over the cable news networks and has been taking up a lot of their time, and that's what's gone on in Tomlinsonville, West Virginia. And this is about the 12 miners. And can you believe what happened there? Not only do they not have a clue as to what caused all of this, but the residents there were originally told that 12 of the miners had survived. You listen to the Osgood file. I mean, he covered it. 12 of the miners had survived, and then it turns out that 11 of them are dead, and only one survived. And now they're trying to figure out about how this miscommunication between the rescue crews and the command center had caused the erroneous report that the 12 miners had survived. In all, 12 miners died, including a man whose body was found closer to the mine entrance. The sole survivor, Randy McCloy, is in critical condition and was transported Wednesday to West Virginia University Hospital in Morgantown after being stabilized at nearby St. Joseph's Hospital. And, yeah, I you know, this is a tragedy. It's a terrible tragedy, and I think everybody knows it's a tragedy. And I'm not sure, you know, what it is you say about this or how to discuss it or what's going on here. And there were, and I'm trying to pull this out of my memory here this morning, there were, what, 128 citations previously about this mine? And the company that owns the mine now just recently bought it, said that they had taken care of those, had cleaned up many of the problems there. And for people who live in West Virginia and live in mining country, this is something that they live with every single day, the fear of something happening. And doesn't it make you feel lucky that no matter what you do out there, that this kind of thing is not going to happen to you? And does it make you stop for a second and say thanks? And also feel grief for the miners that were killed in this explosion, which they don't have any idea what caused this. And probably will not find out until this Randy McClory recovers and is able to tell them exactly what went on. Because there are signs inside the mine of an explosion with barriers being knocked over. But there were no signs of a quote-unquote traditional explosion. Fire, gas, stuff like that. At least there was last time I heard. Now, when I woke up this morning and turned on the TV, here's a little hesitation in my hand. I'm starting to sound like George W. Bush. And turned on the TV, and I was watching a first look on MSNBC about 3 o'clock this morning. That's what they were reporting. So I feel like, you know, we got to bring it up this morning about this coal mining disaster. And I just don't know. I don't know what to say about it. I really don't. And one of the most distressing things is I heard this woman who obviously lost either a husband or a brother or maybe a son of this thing. And I'm paraphrasing her. She said, well, we're all God-fearing people, but now I'm not so sure there is a God. Why would this happen to us? And that's a pretty heavy statement about wondering why God would do this to us and why this would happen. I don't know. I don't know this morning where to go with this, other than to get on the air and talk about it. Now, if you want to talk about it, you want to make some comments about it during the no power hour here, where we have like three people listening, 303-713-7600,
And I've got, as usual, wide open phone lines. I don't know what there is to say about this other than it is a tragedy and it's terrible. And you feel for these people. And then they have, you know, then they'd be told that 12 miners survived and you're on cloud nine because some member of your family, you believe, is going to make it. And then you're told later that there was a miscommunication and that the 12 died. So you're taken from the very highest heights and then yanked down to the very lowest low. You can understand. I think you can really understand why those people are upset and why they're angry and that they deserve to get some answers, more than the answers that were given by Ben Hatfield, the CEO of the International Coal Group, which owns the Sago mine. He called it the worst day of his life, but that there was miscommunication regarding the survivors. And one woman yelled at CNN's Anderson Cooper, whose show I never watch, but I do know of him, and I think believe the show is called 360. One of them yelled, they're liars, they're all liars. They told us they didn't have good news, said one man who was at the briefing. Everybody is stunned and sick to our stomachs. We feel like we've been lied to. We've been lied to all along. This is probably the most horrible thing that's ever happened to me in my lifetime. Hatfield said it was apparent that the miners, who were found some 13,000 feet underground, remained alive for a period of time following the explosion. They had built a rough barricade structure, he said, and had donned their self-contained breathing apparatuses. The apparatuses held 1 hour of oxygen. Hatfield said they had no way of knowing how long the miners were alive. The rescue team found that the miners was speaking to command center over mine communication systems on an open speaker audible to a number of people, Hatfield said. He noted the company made no formal announcement that the 12 were alive, but he said not single out any rescuers as they were trying to save the miners' lives. The honest answers were devastated. It's beyond sorrow, it's beyond belief, it's the worst day of my life, Hatfield said. Hatfield said he knew within 20 minutes that an error had been made and that not all 12 were alive, but said he did not inform jubilant family members. Now, you know, if you're a family member, how would you feel about that? If they knew for like 12 minutes and didn't tell you? I mean, it's got to be the worst possible thing you undergo. For the life of me, I can't imagine being in that situation. I don't think any of us can imagine being in that situation unless you've gone through this before. And maybe you have. I don't know. 303-713-7600. If you want to talk about the Sago mine disaster and just your feelings about it, you're more than welcome to. Somebody sent me a really great article. Via email, sent me a great article about Chris Matthews, who you know that I talk a lot about, and I'm going to get to that too before this hour is out. I couldn't even watch him last night because I got one of those alerts from Media Matters for America where he said the Abramoff scandal is going to be no big deal. There's a reason, because you know something? Matthews is connected to the scandal. So I'll get into that. Oh, excuse me. You know, this damn cold, I can't get rid of it, no matter how hard I try. You know what? I'm your Sudafed test pilot here this morning. 6:17, 17 minutes after 6, AM 760. Good morning. Good to have you along here on AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk.
AM 760, Progressive Traffic.
Great start to your drive here around Boulder. City streets looking to be in fine shape. Highways in the outlying area, no problem. 93 if you're south to Golden, 119 up to Longmont and Boulder Turnpike at this point is running wide open. But we've got strong winds we're going to be dealing with today, and certainly they're going to pick up through the rest of today. Drive around Denver, not bad. I-25 corridor looks pretty good through T-Rex. I-70 rolling wide open, 225s in fine shape. Watch out, those lights are out on the east side of Hamden right over I-25. Flashing red all four ways. You want to be sure and treat that as a four-way stop. Take a look at your forecast for today. Mostly sunny but windy today, up to 51 for a high. A little cooler tomorrow, but sunshine again right around 47. Right now, though, it's 25. I'm Aaron O'Neill on AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk.
Don't miss the fast-paced action tonight on Altitude. It's NBA action at its best when the Denver Nuggets host the Indiana Pacers. East meets West tonight. Altitude. All the action begins at 6:30 tonight on Comcast Channel 25 or in high definition on Channel 665.
The corporation does not offer financial or legal advice.
Running a small business is like raising a child. You nurture it, giving up your time and energy just to make sure it grows and stays healthy. But if you haven't incorporated yet, it could all disappear in an instant. your car, your life savings, even your home. Fortunately, incorporating your business is fast and easy. Request a free guide today. Call 800-500-2883. 1-800-500-2883. 1-800-500-2883.
In 1999, Beverly Thurloway had surgery for breast cancer. Years later, her doctor recommended a lung scan.
Sure enough, it detected a tumor on my lung.
But Beverly couldn't have lung surgery. Fortunately, she was a candidate for CyberKnife.
It's a good thing, because it really was my only hope.
Beverly was treated at Rocky Mountain CyberKnife, where we're restoring hope for tumor patients, even those who think they have no options. CyberKnife destroys tumors with a beam of radiation while sparing surrounding tissue with 1 millimeter accuracy.
It was unbelievable. I just laid there comfortably enjoying music, and now I'm told I no longer have lung cancer. I've had cancer surgery, and I can't believe this is all it took to get rid of a lung tumor.
At Rocky Mountain CyberKnife, we're revolutionizing treatment, restoring hope, and improving lives. If you or someone you love has a tumor, call us today at 303-448-4620.
Happy birthday
to... No, don't say it. I'm over 55.
So what?
Over 55. Over 55 is when you see white buffets.
Well, you're not the only one. The man in the shiny black Coit van celebrating, too.
Coit's over 55?
Yes. It's their anniversary this week. They're offering 40% off any cleaning service.
40% off carpet cleaning?
Yes, and 40% off draperies and upholstery and air ducts.
40%?
With over 50 years' experience, Coit's the number one cleaning professional in the world.
If the man in the shiny black van celebrating, maybe we should get him something.
You know what he'd like?
Shot a B12 in the face.
A phone call. Coit would just appreciate our business.
Call the man in the shiny black today at 1-800-4-COIT and save 40% on any cleaning service during Coit's anniversary sale. Carpets, draperies, upholstery, air ducts, even tile and grout. Plus, you'll get a free written estimate and a 100% money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-FORCOIT this week and save 40%. People you trust, trust Coit.
This is Randy Rhodes, and I'm coming up this afternoon, and right now you got Jay Marvin right here on M760 Boulder's Progressive Talk.
Good morning. It's 6:21, 21 minutes after 6. Hi at 8:50. Jay Marvin, AM760, Progressive Talk. You know what? No matter what you do on the radio, somebody has to call and complain. Okay, for the guy who called up and didn't have the guts to get on the air, and I get these emails, too, like this, and they're not signed, so I don't reply to them. He says, well, we shouldn't be talking about the miners situation. We should be talking about Abramoff. Hey, stand by, buddy, because we got a lot of Jack Abramoff coming up this morning. We've got a lot of Abramoff, and we're going to look at it from Judd Legum for the Center for American Progress, and also my buddy John Nichols from The Nation will be here to talk about Jack Abramoff and the fact that there are people on Capitol Hill, such as Bob Ney, who are scared to death, and they ought to be. All right, we're talking about this mine situation, and whether you watch the media coverage of it, and just your general feelings about it, because I just didn't feel like we could get through this morning without talking about it. Let's go to Michael in Denver. Michael, you're on AM 760. Good morning. Hey, Mike, you there?
Yeah, here.
Go ahead.
First, I wanted to second what you said leading into the break about Chris Matthews. I used to watch his show all the time, and the bookings that they do, and how, you know, the guest that he puts on there with a conservative journalist and a mainstream journalist. And I don't even bother watching the show anymore, which is a shame.
Yeah, you know something? I didn't watch it last night either. I read The Nation instead, and now I'm kind of the opinion. And wait till I think about Abramoff, which I'll do here in a few minutes. You're going to love it.
Yeah. In any case, I normally would have been asleep last night, and I, getting over a cold and took cold medicine and just couldn't sleep, and I was up through the whole thing last night, and, I mean, you know, it's just to say that, you know, your heart goes out to these people. I mean, it wasn't done on purpose, and it was human error. But, you know, to have these people, I would think in their hearts believe yesterday that their husbands and fathers, you know, were deceased because of the gases. And then, you know, word comes out about 9:50 Denver time that, you know, they're all alive. You know, the 12 remaining are alive. They've been found. And, you know, 3 hours pass before the people from the mining company sit down with families, you know, and this is now about 12:30 Denver time.
Well, why did it take them 3 hours? This way, I'd love to ask that question. I'd love to ask this Hatfield guy why it took 3 hours. Well, we lost Michael. He's gone into the ether. Why would it take 3 hours? You know, I hope they have a good explanation for this, about why it would take 3 hours. Let's go to Carol in Denver. Carol, good morning. You're on AM 760.
Good morning, Jay.
Hey,
I am so glad you're talking about this. I, like Michael, was up late last night. I just couldn't sleep, and I'm kind of a news junkie anyway. And so I was watching this on CNN, and something about it struck me as weird that they were found alive, but I was so excited that they were found alive. And then as I kept watching it, I was like, how come we're not seeing all the ambulances rushing down with the miners? Because, well, okay. So then I just kept watching it, and then the way that the news broke was just absolutely, I think it was shocking. This woman just comes up to Anderson Cooper and says, they lied, and he turns around and he says, what are you talking about? And this townswoman breaks the news and says, they lied, this is what happened. There's fistfights going on in the church. It's terrible. They're all dead. And Anderson Cooper standing there like, what? They're all dead? And so she's telling this story, and it was one of the most shocking things I've ever seen in broadcast history. And I guess there's a lot of places you can go with this, and I think one of the places you can go is, a lot of people were very, very angry at the mining company, but one, the mining company never actually made a statement that they were alive, but what they were really angry about was that the mining company knew 20 minutes after everybody broke out in this jubilation, they knew for 3 hours, and so a lot of people said, why didn't you tell us? And I kind of agree with the mining company. He said, listen, we have people down there at 13,000 feet. We need to confirm. Instead of telling you, okay, who's alive, who's dead, who's not, we haven't checked anybody out, we need to make sure they decided, instead of more miscommunication, to check every single person out and make confirmations and then go back and say something.
But you know something, I had a question. Why did they tell the families and the relatives that these 12 guys had lived when...
They didn't. They weren't the ones that...
Who gave out that information?
Okay. And I'll talk quickly because I know you got to go. But there was a miscommunication between the people who were relaying the information on the ground to the communication center. Somebody overheard something. I think somebody said this, they were receptive to hearing, okay, I think they probably found McCloy. I think they found him first, figured that he was, and then maybe they just interpreted. And then what happened was, it was like telephone. All of a sudden, we found this guy alive. Somebody in the communication center around there picked up the phone, called somebody in the church, and hey, and then it was like telephone. It was like a bad case of telephone. One other thing that really kind of did more than anything was Anderson Cooper, as he's, you know, doing this whole thing and I'm flipping through the channels, he said, well, there was really no way for us to independently verify whether the story was right or not. And I thought, oh my God, that is your main job as a journalist, is to independently verify this stuff.
Well, maybe they couldn't, because they couldn't get in there to get any comment from anybody about it. And what you're describing, I mean, can you imagine being Anderson Cooper, too, to get an awkward moment where this woman starts screaming at you that they're all liars, and you get caught flat-footed, and you don't know what's going on. And I mean, that must have been a terrible situation to be. You know, The whole thing's horrible. The whole thing's horrible. The whole thing's saddening. And to me, how do you do that? How do you tell families, okay, you know, your loved ones are alive, and then you turn around and go, no, they're dead? I mean, it's just the psychological trauma of all of that is beyond belief. I just couldn't imagine being in that situation. Could you?
No, I couldn't. And I guess the last thing I'll say, Jay, and thanks for really talking about this. Can't wait to hear about Abramoff, but this is really important. And I think, you know what? Sometimes I tend to be one of those people who's like, who's to blame? What happened? And they need to investigate this. They need to find out what happened. But I think today it's just, I think people, honestly, it was the human condition folding out. And I think people just really wanted to hear something good. And I think when they found McCloy alive, I think it was horrible. And I think today, I could easily go, well, blah, 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 and blah, blah, and I could, and that would be okay, and I'm, and the families can do whatever they want because they're the families, but I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, they have every right. Carol, thank you. Appreciate your call this morning.
Okay, bye.
All right. And Michael's back from the ether and want to make one more point. Michael, go ahead. Make your last point.
Well, the only one to say was, you know, I don't know that the media's really at fault. The first hour or so that these people were supposedly alive, the cable shows were all saying, you know, reports, and we're not able to confirm. After the course of 3 hours, it's a given that these people are alive. Nobody ever came out and officially confirmed they're alive. The other point that I wanted to make was at 12:47 Den time, when Anderson Cooper had this woman, like your previous caller said, this woman come up to Anderson Cooper and said, you know, they're punching the people and then beating up the people from the mine, and they're fighting, yelling, and screaming. When you talk about riveting television, and I mean, it wasn't Anderson Cooper's fault. I mean, every single media outlet that was out there, you've got newspapers from all over the country today saying, you know, they're all alive. I mean, it was just after the course of an hour, yeah. It was given that, you know, and again, you know, nobody confirmed it. And, you know, the first hour, like I said, people were just, you know, we have reports, or, you know, so-and-so's reporting, and we're not able to independently confirm it. And after, you know, 2 hours, then 3 hours, it's like, well, yeah, they're alive, and, you know, they'll be having a celebratory press conference soon. And then they go into this press conference, and, you know, this woman comes out, you know, talking about how people are yelling, screaming, and punching and kicking. And I just can't imagine what those family members went through.
No, I can't either. I can't imagine even what Anderson Cooper went through. Real quick, 10 seconds, yes or no? Media coverage too extensive? Yes or no?
No.
Okay. Hey, Mike, thanks, man. Have a great day. Hope you get over your cold.
You too, Jake. Take care. Thanks.
All right. Bye. As one cold sufferer to another, I'm coming like the Claritin D test pilot of America here. So I'm buying so many cold medications that the DEA's raided my house thinking I'm making methamphetamines. 6:31, 29 minutes in front of 7, AM 760. Let's take a look at traffic now with Aaron O'Neill.
And we're still sitting on a pretty good drive right now on the highways if you just headed out. Although we're starting to see our first signs of slowing southbound I-25 right around 84th Avenue. That's always usually the first area to bog down a bit, that drive-in from Thornton and Northland. But so everything to this point is rolling wide open. We do have one minor issue. The lights are flashing red on the east side bridge of Hamden right over I-25. That's going to affect that traffic coming off that northbound I-25 ramp. Be sure and please treat that as a four-way stop. Hopefully they'll have that up and running before we hit the prime of our rush hour. Weather today, mostly sunny, certainly windy, up to 48 for a high. More of the same tomorrow. Highs right around 50. Right now, though, it's 28. I'm Aaron O'Neill on AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk.
What's the fastest-selling diet pill in America? Xantrax 3. Xantrax 3, the only diet pill with a kick. No wonder everyone loves Xantrax 3. The number one diet pill in America is available at stores nationwide. Xantrax 3.
Turn your computer into a radio. Listen live to AM 760 24 hours a day on AM760.net. Download podcasts from CBS News and AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk.
My friends laughed at me when I said I could order in French, but when the waiter came, I just smiled and said, Je voudrais le poulet et le frit.
Discover the world's fastest way to learn a language, guaranteed. It's the amazing Rosetta Stone software, and you can try it free. Request a free demo CD-ROM by calling 1-800-600-4222. There's no tedious translation, useless memorization, or boring drills. Call 1-800-600-4222. 1-800-600-4222.
Homeowners, the holidays are over. Paying for them may not be. If the holiday season stuffed your stocking with high interest rate credit card statements, there has never been a better time to call the mortgage store than today.
Jason Rauschelbach, CEO of the Mortgage Store.
The average family has $12,000 in credit card debt. You can make those payments month after month and never see your balances go down.
Call the Mortgage Store today. Just one phone call is all it takes to get you started saving hundreds of dollars every month.
We'll make it easy for you to pay off those credit cards. And it's tax deductible.
The Mortgage Store does the shopping for you and guarantees to save you money. There's no application fees, no out-of-pocket closing costs. Now, how's that for a fresh start for the new year?
There has never been a better time to call the Mortgage Store than today.
Call the Mortgage Store now. 303-423-7171. That's 423-7171. The Mortgage Store, where America goes for mortgages.
Let's face it, most everyone can use some extra cash from time to time.
Ted is a Check and Go associate.
So I tell people that no matter what the reason, you can get the cash you need at Check and Go. We'll hold your personal check till payday. Contact us. We'll explain everything, make it easy for you.
Call 1-800-561-CASH to find a Check and Go near you. Or get a cash advance online at checkandgo.com.
Cash subject to certain terms and conditions. See website for details. Ohio license 750310.
Coming this January, all new Hallmark Channel mystery movies, new crimes, new cases. Leah Thompson in Jane, Kelly Martin in Mystery Woman, and introducing a new detective.
You were expecting me?
Dick Van Dyke in the world premiere of Murder 101. Premieres Saturday night, 9, 8 Central. The Hallmark Channel mystery movie, a new chance to uncover the truth.
That was pretty slick.
Only on Hallmark Channel.
You can now get up on the left side of the bed. Jay Marvin on AM 760, Volt's Progressive Talk.
Good morning, 7:35, 25 minutes in front of us, 1 o'clock. High today, 50. Nice to have you along. Jay Marvin here, AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk, sitting here glowing in the dark. The non-power hour, where the select, discreet few of you decide to join us at the 760 spot. Have you ever noticed the guys always say, the 760 spot on your radio dial? Yet nobody has a radio dial anymore. Everything's digital. But they still say that. Thank you for joining us at 760 spot on your radio dial. Okay. We're in the middle of talking about this situation about the miners and about the families being told at one point that they had survived, then being told at another point that they hadn't. Coming up later on this morning, we will talk, definitely, trust me, we'll talk about Jack Abramoff. And I'm wondering if I should read this Chris Matthews thing, because I can always read it later on in the morning, too, for those people who missed it. But if you want to talk about the mining situation, 303-713-7600, I didn't see all of the media coverage. I didn't see hardly any of it. Here's what happened yesterday for me. I saw part of it on the Situation Room with the Wolf Blitzer. Mary had that on. And so I did, you know, I saw that part of it. And there was a part of me that wanted to say to CNN and wanted to say to Wolf Blitzer, man, you know what, how about the Abramoff thing? I want to hear more about that. And he did have kind of a little debate between Bill Press and I can't think of the other guy's name from the National Review Online. Yeah, I think it was the National Review Online, or maybe it was. Anyways, he's been on there before. Some conservative talking head guy. They had a little bit of that, but the majority of the coverage was the mine story. Then the next time I saw the mine story again being covered was on Keith Olbermann, which comes on at 6 o'clock our time. Because once again, I didn't watch Matthews last night. After having Jameson Fosier on with Media Matters for America, after Matthew being named Misinformer of the Year, and you know, if you listen to this program for the better part of a year, you know I've had this ongoing debate on and off about Matthews. So I finally decided, okay, I'm not watching this. Mainly because I caught a Media Matters bulletin, one of those emailers, because the Matthews show is on twice. And I think it's on at like 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock. And then it repeats again at 5 o'clock on MSNBC. And they had gigged him for saying that the Abramoff story wasn't going to be that big of a deal and that it didn't have legs. But, you know, here's my question about the mining situation, which I asked Mike because I didn't see it. It was, just, you know, it's been a couple of slow news days now after the holidays. And it traditionally slows down this time of year. So all of us try to scratch and bite for something to put on the radio. And I don't exclude myself. I mean, I come in here every morning, and I grouse with John Turk. Well, it's a slow day. Peter Boyles is on the air on KHAL right next door to me. I'll say to Boyles, man, what do you got going on this morning? There is nothing to talk about. And CNN, which we've had this discussion before about CNN and all the cable news networks, they have a tremendous amount of time to fill. So do you think that the coverage on the mine situation was too much, too little, or not enough? 303-713-7600. And you're going to have to tell me, because, as I said before, other than maybe an hour on the Situation Room with Wolf Blitzer on CNN. I love Jack Cafferty and Zane Bergey. I make I'm not going to hide that. I like them, even though sometimes I don't agree with Cafferty. And then seeing it on Oberman, that was all I saw last night. So do you think that the coverage was too much, not enough, or just right? Let me go to Ken in Evergreen. Ken, good morning. You're on AM 760.
Happy New Year, Jay.
Hey, Ken, Happy New Year to you, too.
Thank you very much. I can't really speak to the totality of coverage because I didn't even know about this until sometime yesterday. But last night I was watching the Orange Bowl, 10 o'clock. Carl comes down Channel 7. They found 12 miners. And so I flip over to CNN. And I kept, for an hour, I was going between the game and CNN. They never once had anybody official. I'm talking about the false story more than the totality of coverage.
When you say official, are you talking about like Ben Hatfield, the CEO of the company, or okay,
somebody from the company, a law enforcement official, somebody in a position to actually know something.
Right.
So after about 30 minutes of this, I'm scratching my head saying this doesn't smell right. You know, nobody from the company, because you got to figure this is a company that's been. The coverage that I did hear talked about numerous safety violations.
I think there were about 128.
I heard about double that this morning.
May be right, then.
So I'm thinking, if you're getting raked over the PR coals, you're going to send your flack out there if you find 12 surviving miners, and you're going to say, our safety procedures worked, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But this never happened for an entire hour, and then at 11 I had to bail out and go to sleep. So I wasn't at all surprised at 5 o'clock this morning when I woke up and heard that it was the other way around, 12 dead and 1 alive. It was this rush. You know, there's so much, there's so much competition in the media, especially the 24-hour news channels, CNN, MSNBC, Fox, the Fox Fantasy Channel, to fill. And beyond that, there's that pressure to be first, which has always been prevalent in any kind of media. You want the scoop. And there's so many more. You have to be jaundiced because when you hear something first on, how many times do we find out that it's wrong?
Yeah, well, you're right about that. There's, you know, one of the...
And I think we hear, one, I think one, I hear
one
more
the,
of that.
One, yeah. One of the funniest bloopers I remember, I didn't see it, but it was reported by... I can't remember who had this. Maybe it was CNN about Fox. Prior to the Iraqi War... Fox jumped the gun and said that there were American troops on the ground in Iraq. Turned out the story was false.
Well, recently, the Mao's Little Red Book, the guy from, was it Brown or Dartmouth, claimed he acquired through interlibrary loan overseas.
Right.
And that the FBI came knocking on his door. Everybody jumped on that. Molly Rivens mentioned it in a column. And that was just, you know, that wasn't so much the media being false as the media being misled. But nobody did their homework. You know, nobody went back and double-checked. Did any of these reporters call the FBI and say, hey, did you really do this? Not that the FBI's... I know, I'm sure the FBI's never lied to the media.
Yeah, right.
I believe it was a little bit of a laugh. Jay, you have a good day. I have to go to work.
All right, Ken, be safe, man. Thanks.
You too.
Yeah, there's an awful lot of critical examination of the media on this program. And that's okay, because you know what? I don't know about you, but I'm fascinated with the media's role in American society and culture and the things that they generate and the things that you track. That's why we have Jameson Fosier and Paul Waldman on every week for Media Matters. And that's why I keep referring to that website, because the little nuggets of information that come out of there about the mainstream media and also the conservative media is absolutely, totally, and completely brilliant. They had a thing yesterday, and this goes back to Matthew's show, where Matthew's had on Bob Schrum and Patrick Buchanan, and Buchanan cited a Rasmus poll about the majority of Americans agreeing with the spying of the NSA, and Media Matters for America gigged it yesterday, saying that Buchanan, and they always present proof, had misconstrued the poll. All right, was there too much coverage on the mining thing? Not enough? Or was the coverage just right? 303-713-7600, 643, 17 minutes in front of 7 o'clock. So much for being here on the No Power Hour. Making this early commitment on AM 760, Progressive Talk.
AM 760. Progressive traffic.
First problem in the morning quickly cleared off. It was a stall southbound I-25 right underneath the Steel Street Bridge, but it is gone off to the shoulder anyway. All lanes reopened. Traffic started to back up a little bit behind it. Slow from the Downing Street Bridge. A little bit of a hang-up in your drive getting down through T-Rex. Everywhere else, we're just starting to see the build-up. Eastbound Turnpike from Federal down towards Pecos. We're seeing eastbound I-70 from I-25 to York. That's a slow drive crossing Kingston 70 right now. And northbound I-25 up through the Tech Center, getting a little bit heavier. Checking that forecast for today, sunny but windy, up to 48 only for a high. Tomorrow, a little bit warmer. We'll be up to right around 50 under sunny skies. Once again, breezy conditions. Right now, it's 28. I'm Aaron O'Neill on AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk.
Ed Schultz, weekday afternoons 1 to 4.
What I'm talking to you about is not a liberal or conservative issue. It's truth or it's a lie. It's morally right or it's morally wrong.
Ed Schultz on AM 760.
Who's responsible?
Boulder's Progressive Talk.
Hypnosis works.
I was a non-smoker when I walked out of there.
Hypnosis works. Call 800-735-6907.
I've lost a little over 50 pounds.
John Morgan Seminars presents world-renowned hypnotherapist Doug O'Brien at Red Lion Denver Central, Quebec Street, Tuesday, January 17th.
It works. Right off.
Smoking cessation is at 6 p.m. Weight loss at 8 p.m. Sessions are affordable at $59.95.
That's just amazing.
Stop smoking forever or lose weight and keep it off. Call 800-735-6907.
Hypnosis will be your success story.
800-735-6907.
I'm sitting here talking away, like ignoring what's going on. Good, Jay. Very major market, very pro. 6:45, 15 minutes away from 7 o'clock on AM760 Boulder's Progressive Talk. Hey, have you ever thought about changing careers? Are you tired of what you're doing? You want to make good money, and you want to work for people who are really good? Well, I'll tell you, there's a free automotive training seminar coming up, put on by Rocky's Autos, Colorado's number one volume dealer, and you can reserve your seat today by calling 303-426-4646. Now, here's what will happen. Rocky's will train you. Rocky's is holding their second annual introductory auto training seminar. And they want to show you how you can be an important part of a growing team. Rockies has the best inventory in Colorado, and you've heard me talk about that, and the best location in Colorado, the best advertising support in Colorado, and the best management anywhere. And these folks at Rockies are just certifiably A number one great. Come see how your top, how their top sales producers earn, are you ready for this, between $7,000 and $10,000 per month. Hey, Marvin Al Shearer, who works out there, man, can I borrow like $5,000? Anyway, space is limited. Plan on spending 3 hours and see if Rockies is for you. Now, this is coming on Monday, January the 19th. Registration and snacks, 5 to 6 p.m. And the seminar, 6 until 9 p.m. And it's happening at the Denver Marriott, 1717 Denver West, Marriott Boulevard in Golden, Colorado. So call now to reserve your seat and see if this is for you. 303-426-4646. Ask for Colby or Dave. That's 303-426-4646. 2,000 minimum training guarantee. That's 303-426-4646. Rockies Auto, 63rd and Federal. My friends, you go out there and see them, and they'll become your friends too.
Call LendingTree now to take advantage of their new home equity offer. You can get a $40,000 loan for only $200 a month. Call 1-800-555-TREE. See website or call for details and licensing.
People who can afford a LASIK procedure sure are lucky. Too bad everyone can't afford LASIK. Well, the LASIK Vision Institute is now offering dramatically low prices on high-quality LASIK, the latest FDA-approved technology for a fraction of what other providers charge. You can even finance it with 0% financing. Get a free information kit by calling 1-800-700-5075. That's 1-800-700-5075. 1-800-700-5075.
Did you know that Southwest Airlines offers 4 daily nonstop flights from Denver to Phoenix? To book your trip to Phoenix, visit southwest.com today.
You are now free to move about the country.
The GOP calls him an SOB. It's Bay Marvin,
AM 760,
Boulder's Progressive Talk.
Hey, good morning, 6:48, 12 minutes in front of 7 o'clock, high today, 50. Jay Marvin, AM 760 Talk, nice to have you along. We're in the no power hour here, where a select few of you decide to make a well-informed decision to join us for the first hour of this program. You know, I know it takes a lot to call up, like at 6:15 in the morning or 6:48 in the morning. You're getting up, you're starting to figure out what's going on in the world, you're getting ready for work, the sun is not up, we're sitting here glowing in the dark. talking about various issues. I we're talking about the mining issue, and I'm really zeroing in here. And this is a tragedy. I mean, it's just a grief. It's just terrible what went on there in West Virginia about the families being told that there were survivors and then being told that there was only one survivor. And I've kind of focused in, and thank you to Michael's call, I've kind of focused in on the media here and whether you think the media coverage was enough, too much, or too little. Because as a lot of us have said here this morning, a lot of us didn't see all of the media coverage. Michael in Denver and a few others did see a lot of it. I didn't see a lot of it, so I want to know from you if you think it was too much, too little, or just enough. On the morning news talking shows this morning, the mining disaster is all over the place, and everybody's dealing with it. And on MSNBC, Rita Crosby. Is it Crosby or Crosby? It's Crosby, ex-Fox woman. She worked over there at Fox. She had been there all night covering the thing. So you know that it ran like all night. And we were talking yesterday about this when I was asking people, you know, where do you get your news? Where do you get your information? And I was talking about how the fact that the cable news has a lot of time to cover and that sometimes they go overboard on some of these stories. And I wonder if you think that they went overboard on the minor story, that if they just gave it too much coverage. Or maybe they didn't give it enough. Or maybe you think that the coverage and the amount of coverage and the way they handled it was exactly right, depending on who you watch. You thought it was, you know, okay. 303-713-7600. And any other comments you might have about the mining story. We're going to talk about Jack Abramoff coming up, and I got to read the Chris Matthews thing. But since we're going to get into Abramoff coming up next hour, and the Matthews story is connected to Abramoff, which somebody sent me, Greg Osterlich, I think is his name, sent it to me in email. We'll get into it. Let me go to Steve in Boulder. Steve, good morning. You're on AM 760.
Good morning, Jay.
Hey, Steve, how are you?
I'm good, and you?
Well, you know what? This early in the morning, I'm doing okay.
Me too, surprisingly. Anyway, the miners' story is, it's very tragic, obviously, and I think we should all be aware that all of our energy comes at great sacrifice from somebody, and, you know, a lot of our electricity is coal, and that's just a sacrifice you don't see, you know.
Well, that's a really good point. How many of us stop every single day to realize where all this stuff comes from? That's a good point.
Yeah. The real point I wanted to make beyond that is that the media coverage kind of reflects something about the human condition around fear. And it was a very immediately concerned microcosm of people concerned for their loved ones. But if you take a look at the crazy things that can happen, how much people really depend on the information coming in to be good, to be right, and past a certain point, people will be looking so hard for any information that something will just kind of blow up. I think that that's just part of the human condition and the strangeness of us as people. But I think that that relates especially to the power of the media and how much we depend on it, especially when we're afraid, and how the neocons have been able to use it against us. We're really very vulnerable as humans. We need information to keep our life right side
yeah,
up.
Yeah, you're right about that. We do, and the neocons do use it, and George W. Bush uses it all the time by in his latest tactics. Anybody who feels that the NSA spying story was wrong, or anybody who won't endorse the Patriot Act blindly, is somehow now helping the enemy, which is, once again, out of a 30- or 40-year-old or 50-year-old playbook of Joe McCarthy. But there's something about these kinds of stories, the mining story, tragedies, that we get fixated on, that we're drawn to naturally. You know, the first event that I ever remember that television ever covered, and this goes way back, man. I mean, I barely remember it as a kid. It was in Los Angeles. There was a little girl. Her name was Kathy Fiscus, I believe. She fell down a hole. It wasn't a mine shaft. Do you remember that story?
It was a well, yes.
Yeah, it was a well.
That.
And in those days, in L.A., you had maybe three or four radio, television stations. And KTLA, which is now gone, I believe it's become KCAL, covered this thing wall to wall. And people were riveted because of two reasons. One, because we are drawn to tragedies. And two, because this was a big demonstration of live TV.
Well, yeah. That's right. I remember how big that story was. I think it's just why the Bushites keep coming back to 9/11 over and over again, is because it has that fear element in it, and it just kind of paralyzes us if somewhere in our brain when we think about it.
Yeah, well, but where's that instinct, though? Where does it come from, that instinct of...
survival?
Well, I don't know, you know, of getting sucked up by tragedy. Example. I mean, this is a really minor one, but you see it every day. Drive I-25. If there's somebody pulled over, if there's an accident, you know people go by and they quote-unquote rubberneck and they slow down because they got to get a look.
I think that there's something in us that has us look at things like that to see if we can figure out how not to get into that situation. I think it's a matter of survival. And, you know, in a really complicated world, it doesn't necessarily translate to that, since so much of our daily experience is abstract in law and behavior and stuff like that. But still, I think the basic human tendency to rubberneck is based in survival, to look and see, is there something I should be doing differently to not get into that situation?
All right. Hey, great call. Thank you, man. Thanks for being up
Thank
this
you.
Morning.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Bye.
Yeah, because we are drawn to tragedy, aren't we? And that's all of us. You know, I'll get emails occasionally from people, and every once in a while I'll get a phone call from people who try to put themselves above human behavior. Not me. I don't engage in that kind of behavior. I listen to NPR. I don't really watch what's going on. I have no idea. You know, but something, we're all, you know, you go down the freeway, you go down 25, you go down 70, you go down 36, you see somebody in an accident, you stop and look. You're drawn to it, let's face it. Phyllis in Aurora. Phyllis, hi, you're on AM 760.
Yes, I just wanted to call and say that I don't think it matters so much whether it's a lot or a little bit, but it's got to be accurate. It's our news media is just, must be in trouble. I don't know what's going on, but it does need to be accurate. I sure like the caller that you just talked to, everything he said. And I think maybe that we are drawn to this kind of story because we're neighborly. We care about what's happening to other people. And this is so close to home. And I think we just have human sympathy for them. And that's where it comes from. But it's absolutely ghastly that they didn't get that story right. But I hope it doesn't take our mind off of the political things that's going on right now, because we need to still focus on that.
Well, we're going to be talking about Jack Abramoff,
yeah,
and the reverberations around him pleading and rolling over on Everybody He Knows, and we'll be doing that next hour and throughout the morning. Okay. Phyllis, thank you. I appreciate your call.
And thank you. Bye-bye.
You bet. And we will be talking about that, and I will read the Chris Matthews thing, which I've been holding on to. And I've said this before. You know, my big fear is the No Power Hour, that's a select group of us who get to good morning at this time. And I'm not sure whether you're here between, you know, for the whole 4 hours, or if you're here for like the first hour or the second hour, and then you got to go to work, you got to get the kids off to school, or whatever it is you got planned for today. So I have a tendency to feel kind of hang on to stuff. Anyway, we'll get into Jack Abramoff coming up next hour here on AM 760 for Talk.
AM 760.
Hi, I'm Frank. You missed me. I was that pedestrian back there. You know, if you don't drive more carefully, next time, you might not miss me.
A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons. For more information, visit AAOS.org.
So, you're listening to the radio on your computer. So are thousands of other people. Your message to all of these people is easy and affordable. Radio advertising is effective. Online radio advertising is effective and inexpensive. Grab a pen and write down this number. Call us for a no-sure conversation. If we can make you money, we will. Call Sean now at 303-713-8318. That's 303-713-8318.
The greatest gift a dad can give his kids isn't something he can buy. It's something priceless. Time. Studies show that kids with adult fathers are less likely to abuse drugs, crimes, get pregnant, get depressed, or fail academically. All it takes is time. A public service message from the Fatherhood Educational Institute. Call 312-795-9060 for free, helpful information. That's 312-795-9060.
760, Progressive Talk. KKZN, 410, Denver, Boulder.
CBS News, I'm Jim Frisula, live in Upshur County, West Virginia. Shouts of joy and relief outside Sago Mine No. 1 after word around midnight. The 12 of 13 miners trapped far underground since early Monday had been found safe. Instantaneously, hope turned to horror as people learned there had been a terrible mistake, a miscommunication it was called, that only one miner was alive.
We were lied to. You know, you always have... Our hopes were broke down, and we want to know why.
Ben Hatfield is CEO of the mine company.
This is certainly not the outcome that we had hoped for and prayed for.
The misinformation, the astounding turn of events, led even veteran reporters, including CBS correspondent Bob Orr, shaking their heads in disbelief.
I've been doing this for 33 years. I've never seen anything like this. To see these faces and to see the pain that these people have experienced, it's heartbreaking. I mean, that's not even a good enough word for it.
The only miner to survive the ordeal, 27-year-old Randall McCloy, is being treated by Dr. Larry Roberts.
He is moving and responding, so to stimuli and to things that we're doing.
McCloy is listed in critical condition. I'm Jim Crisula, live in Upshur County, West Virginia. Steve Kathan has more CBS News.
A suicide bomber mingled with mourners in an Iraqi funeral procession north of Baghdad, then set off his explosives. 32 people were killed. 8 others died today in a car bombing, and there's word a fuel convoy was attacked with 19 of 60 vehicles burned. President Bush is about to huddle with top Pentagon brass about the Iraq war. Live to the White House and CBS's Peter Mayer.
Steve, prospects for troop reductions will likely be on the agenda as the president confers with Defense Secretary Rumsfeld and the Joint Chiefs of Staff about 30 minutes from now. But the kind of violence seen in Iraq that could affect major troop reduction plans. Mr. Bush will also use the Pentagon visit as a backdrop to make yet another pitch for the imminent extension of the Patriot Act, Steve.
And the New York Times reports the National Security Agency expanded domestic surveillance activities after 9/11 on its own, without orders from President Bush. The paper cites documents that have just been declassified. When super lobbyist Jack Abramoff struck a plea deal, he opened the door to a lot of questions that some members of Congress may be called to answer. Abramoff admitted to defrauding Indian tribes and other clients.
Favors are nothing new, but sometimes you step over the line in ways that the system has to correct you. And I think that's what's happening here.
Fordham University political scientist Thomas DeLuca. It's just an asthma attack, says Lindsay Lohan's publicist about the actress's hospitalization in Miami. She was admitted on Monday night. In a Vanity Fair article, Lohan tells of struggles with drugs and bulimia. Before the bell, S&P futures are up just about a half point. This is CBS News.
What's wrong, Nerlman?
My life's over, Dorfman.
Could be worse. Could be my life.
Bob filled in for me while I was on vacation.
Bob from Account Temps?
Did all my financial reporting in 3 days.
Doesn't that take you...
A week, yeah. Now Mr. Fernwell can't stop singing Bob's praises.
I'm sure you're exaggerating.
Bob's the man. Gives every job all he can. Nicer pants than the average man. That's Bob.
Tough one.
When you need temporary accounting or financial help, call Account Temps. We step right in and get the job done quickly and correctly. Call or visit us at AccountTemps.com.
Walmart and Sam's Club have teamed up with Humana to provide you with all the information you need about the new Medicare prescription drug benefit. Enroll today. Log on to walmart.com/Medicare or talk with your Walmart pharmacist or Humana sales representative. Walmart and Sam's Club pharmacies accept all Medicare prescription drug benefit plans. Medicare approved HMO, PPO, and PFFS plans available to anyone enrolled in Part B and entitled to Part A of Medicare through age or disability. Copayment, service area, and benefit limitations may apply.
The Men's Warehouse Winter Sale is on now. Save up to 50% on select styles.
AM 760, progressive traffic.
Well, our big problem spot this morning is going to be on the south end of town. That drive crossing Highlands Ranch with a rollover crash eastbound C4 Sydney, Quebec. They have all the wreckage over to the shoulder right now. No lane to the highway block, but that's a lot of curiosity jamming that starts as you approach Broadway and carries all the way up and through Quebec. So County Line would be your only real good alternate there. Other than that, we're just kind of seeing the usual slowdowns across town. With southbound I-25, a little sluggish through T-Rex now from Alameda down through University, an earlier stall at the Steel Street Bridge. Right, mostly sunny and windy, up to 48 for a high, mostly sunny and breezy.
GAP provides developmentally disabled adults the help and resources to lead a fulfilling life and make a meaningful contribution to the community. GAP needs your help with funding for various equipment, vans, and daily activities. Please call to make a donation, 303-999-9830.
It's in the store for you, so why not get a good deal and do a good deed? The Salvation Army, doing the most.
AM 760. The real story, 24/7 on AM 760.
Jay Marvin, 6 to 10.
Al Franken, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Ed Schultz, 1 to 4.
Randy Rhodes, 48, the best.
Because, yeah, everything right is on the left.
Oh, I listen to Jay a lot. I love Ed.
Al's great.
Randy Rhodes.
Oh, absolutely.
I love it.
You're doing a great job.
AM 760.
Golders, progressive talk.
Think of how much cash you have in your wallet or purse right now. Now, double it. MileHighMarket.com has half-price deals from local retailers that would like you to try them. Double your money and get things for half price at MileHighMarket.com.
Call LendingTree now to take advantage of their new home equity offer. You can get a $40,000 loan for only $200 a month. Call 1-800-555-TREE. See website or call for details and licensing.
This is the Jay Marvin Show on AM 760. Bold progressive talk.
Hey, good morning. 7:06, 6 minutes after 7. Who was it? Your father, your mother? Or who was it that said, never say hays for horses? But you know what? Good morning, and it's good to have you here. High today, 50. Tonight, 22. Not that bad out this morning when I was wheeling on the highways and byways of the Front Range. All right. We're going to talk about Abramoff. We've got Judd Legum for the Center for American Progress coming up in about 30 minutes. This Abramoff thing is both complicated and also riveting because there are a number of elected officials that are going to find themselves in the hot water, mostly Republicans. There's going to be some Democrats, but it's mostly Republicans. Abramoff was a GOP lobbyist. He was a pioneer who raised over $100,000 for George W. Bush. He was a member of the College Republicans. His roots go to Grover Norquist and other high-profile Republicans, including the little boy Ralph Reed of the Christian Coalition, now running for lieutenant governor in Georgia. Tom DeLay. I mean, the roots there are really deep. And you got to know that there are Republicans in Capitol Hill who are scared to death. One of them, which everybody is going to get popped on this deal, is Bob Ney, a Republican from Ohio. Now, he's not named, it doesn't say Bob Ney. Let me correct that. In court papers filed yesterday, it singled out just one member of Congress, Representative number one, identified elsewhere as Representative Bob Ney, a Republican of Ohio. And here's the thing about this. It comes at a bad time for the GOP. Why? Because we're headed to the midterm elections. So let's look at it. What do we got floating around up there? We got the Abramoff situation, which is going to be, and most experts agree, is going to be predicted as being a huge scandal on the size of what went on in Congress in 1994. Maybe bigger. You've got Iraq, which basically has gone south on the administration. No matter what the administration tells you on an everyday basis, they have really bungled Iraq. So you got that floating around out there. You've got the NSA situation, which has come out to public light. You've got the Pentagon situation, which has been buried, but is kind of out there too. And that's the Pentagon spying on domestic citizens. And one of the groups that came up in the Pentagon's mind was the Catholic workers, one of the, and then the Quakers, two of the most peaceful religious groups that just happened to oppose American foreign policy. So you've got all these things floating around out here, and put yourself in the position of the Republicans and the party in control. As a matter of fact, a guy, and I can't remember his name, but a guy has filed to run against Tom DeLay in DeLay's district. And Abramoff is very, very much connected with the Republican Party. I mean, this is a guy who used to make $750 an hour. And look at some of the people that he's touched. Speaker Dennis Hastert of Illinois said that he would donate to charity the $69,000 in campaign contributions directed to. So this plea bargain ripple effect may also touch Tom DeLay, who was Mr. Abramoff's closest ally in the Republican leadership. Now, Abramoff, 46, is pleaded guilty to charges of conspiracy, fraud, tax evasion. And prosecutors said he used campaign contributions, lavish trips, meals, and other perks to influence lawmakers and their allies. We have some sound here from the prosecutor. We'll get that up. Kathleen, what is her name? I can't remember her name. Yeah, Assistant Attorney General Alice Fisher, who talked about the Abramoff situation yesterday. Let's listen a little bit of what she had to say.
Abramoff cooperates truthfully and completely with the government's investigation and otherwise complies with the terms of his agreement with us. He may receive a reduction in his sentence at the discretion of the sentencing court.
Now, Abramoff was facing 30 years in the can. Since he's going to cooperate, that may be reduced to 10 to 11 years. Plus, he has pledged to pay back all of the money that he got. And his attitude towards these Indian tribes that he lobbied on behalf of, calling them morons and troglodytes. He once worked as a lobbyist alongside of David Safavian. Now, does that name David Safavian ring a bell? He was the head of the White House Procurement Office until he was arrested last fall in the Abramoff investigation. And Mr. Abramoff's former personal assistant once worked for Karl Rove, President Bush's chief political strategist. Now, the White House has been reluctant to say anything about this, as they are about all of these unfolding scandals. However, finally, yesterday, the heat was too much, and White House press spokesman Scott McClellan finally had to come out and finally had to say something. Do we have that McClellan cut? Let's hear that. We got it?
The wrongdoing that he apparently now is acknowledging he was involved in is outrageous. And if he broke laws, he can be held to account, and he needs to be punished. And beyond that, I think we'd just be speculating about things.
How about Scott McClellan? How about Scott McClellan? His conduct was outrageous. Boy, it's going to be interesting to see if the tentacles of this whole Abramoff situation reach up into the White House and the people who had worked in the White House. And here's the other question about Abramoff, or maybe I should say one of the main questions about Abramoff. And I'll ask you this question. Do you think that the Democrats can benefit from this? Do they smell blood in the water? And are they going to be able to capitalize on this? Because, as you know, we have to gain control of the House of Representatives or the Senate in 06 so we can start getting some answers to the above-law behavior and the outrageous behavior of this administration. According to the Center for Responsive Politics, an organization that tracks campaign contributions, Abramoff has directed $4.4 million since 1999, to candidates and campaign committees. The money came mostly from Abramoff's clients, but also directly from him and from a casino boat company that he once owned. On Tuesday, a spokesman for Mr. Hastert said the speaker would join a growing list of members of Congress who have returned or donated money given to Mr. Abramoff. Let's hear a little bit more sound about this whole Abramoff situation.
Abramoff had a congressman insert statements in the congressional record, had a congressman endorse a wireless telephone contract for the House of Representatives, had congressmen agreed to seek passage of legislation to help Abramoff's clients.
All right, that's Assistant Attorney General Fisher talking about Abramoff and about the Justice Department pursuing him. And now the Justice Department says that now they're going to really turn up the heat and they're going to really throw this into high gear.
Abramoff did not refer tribal clients to CCS solely to further the interests of the tribes. Rather, he did so to further his own interest and to line his own pockets in ways which were fraudulent and illegal.
All right, let's hear a little bit more on this.
Abramoff admitted to conspiring with his former business partner, Michael Scanlon, to defraud four Native American Indian tribes.
Now, you know, Scanlon has also pleaded out. Now, what about Chris Matthews? Which has been an ongoing debate on this show, and I've had this ongoing love-hate relationship with Matthews. And last night was the time in a long time to watch his show. Instead, I read The Nation magazine. I didn't pay attention to him. Because, as I said last hour, I got one of these email updates from Media Matters for America, in which Matthews says on his Hardball show that this thing with Abramoff is no big story, and I'm paraphrasing here, that it doesn't have legs, and that it will vanish from the scene. Well, Greg Ostrovich, who listens to this show and sends me a lot of email at am760.net, sent me this from the Daily Kos. Matthews implicated in the Abramoff scandal. Okay, things are suddenly starting to make sense. If you're wondering why Chris Matthews was so desperate to explain away the Abramoff scandal, now we know why. First, there's this. Abramoff forms a group called the Capital Athletic Foundation. And this group appears to play a key role in the Abramoff scandal. By the way, this is an organization that Abramoff founded where he gave college friends jobs there. And the organization really basically did nothing. The allegations that Abramoff used the NCPPR and the CAF to pay for overseas trips for House Majority Leader Tom DeLay and other Republican lawmakers, that he attempted to influence lawmakers with large donations from various American tribes. More on the Catholic Athletic Foundation can be found in the Washington Post. Records for GOP lobbyist Jack Abramoff, the Capital Athletic Foundation, shows that less than 1% of its revenue has been spent on sports-related programs for youths, and federal investigators are now looking into large amounts of money which were funneled through the nonprofit group to support Abramoff's interests. Now, here's where it gets interesting, according to Daily Kos. Check this out. Then we go back to March 5th, 2003, and we find out that Chris Matthews of MSNBC and Hardball, and also the Chris Matthews Show, which is carried locally here on Channel 9 on Sunday mornings, that Chris Matthews helped put on an event benefiting this very same Capital Athletic Foundation. It's called the Interactive Spy Game Gala, scheduled for March 26th at the International Spy Museum in Washington. The event's purpose is to raise about $300,000 for Capital Athletic Foundation. Fox News Channel's Tony Snow is the master of ceremonies. The fabulous, charismatic Fox Britt Hume, who has about as much charisma as a piece of drywall that's been left out in the sun, and MSNBC's Chris Matthews are on board. Also, opera great Placido Domingo is an event committee member. But this being Washington, the event will be mostly populated by powerful lawmakers, including Representative Tom DeLay, Senator Rick Santorum of Pennsylvania, Mr. Morales, who, by the way, is facing a stiff uphill reelection because of Bob Casey Jr., and Dana Rohrabacher of California. Now, here are the two big issues, according to Daily Kos. One, the fact that Matthews has cavorted with Abramoff in the past to the point of helping out with one of his sham charities. Then there's the ethical issues with the so-called journalist hanging out in and helping with such a blatantly partisan event. It's again obvious that his schmoozing with rich and powerful have hampered his ability to commentate on those issues properly and detached with rationale. He's been co-opted by the Abramoff machine. Combining these two issues makes it painfully obvious why Matthews is completely uncredible to discuss this issue. Of course, this being the modern media, Work will continue to play his role in efforts to explain and to confuse the scandal. So there's Matthews. So does that make you want to run right out and turn on Hardball tonight? Hey, Chris, why don't you tell us about your role and your association with Jack Abramoff? All right, if you want to talk about the Abramoff scandal, 303-713-7600. Like I said, we've got Judd Legum coming up from the Center for American Progress, who will shed some more light on the Abramoff scandal. 303-713-7600, 720, 20 minutes after 7. Good to have you along.
Get out of debt and get on with your life. Agencies offering Care One credit counseling services can help. Do you have $4,000, $6,000, $10,000 in credit card bills? It's time to get out of debt and get on with your life. Call for Care One services at 1-800-550-3312. Are you behind in paying medical bills or personal loans? Been on the receiving end of even one collection call? Call Care One services for a consultation and debt analysis at 1-800-550-3312. In just one call, you can find out how quickly your debt can be paid in full. People who call for Care One services save an average of 30% in payment every month. Some can save up to 57%. So if you're over your head in credit card bills, call now and receive a consultation and debt analysis. Call for licensing details. Get out of debt and get out. That's Care One Credit Counseling Services. 1-800-550-3312. That's 1-800-550-3312.
As a mom, I do everything I can to help protect my child. But I never knew my daughter, Elizabeth, was at risk for a potentially lethal preventable disease. My child didn't have to die. I'm Donna Sintel, Elizabeth's mom. I didn't realize meningitis could hit here in Denver. Teens are at an increased risk for contracting this disease. Please ask your doctor about immunization.
For information, visit nmaus.org. This message was brought to you by National Meningitis Association.
800-600-4222. 1-800-600-4222.
Mark Major with Aspen Goodyear. Listen, you've been listening to our show on Saturdays. On top of that, I want to thank you for coming down to the stores and doing business with us. We've got five stores in the Denver metro area, Castle Rock, Littleton, Lakewood. You name it, we got it. We are the most aggressive tire salespeople out there. We will match any prices. We're also a full service facility. And don't forget, my dad started this business over 15 years ago, so you know we're not going anywhere. We beat all prices, we match all prices, and on top of that, we do have the best customer service. Ever since I've joined up with Tom Martino on the Troubleshooter Network, I got to tell you, folks, we are going after the bad shops out there. A lot of people don't think that's right, but I'll tell you what, I want to turn around this industry. I want to make your automotive needs easy and very affordable, and on top of that, folks, just plain right. 303-771-9800 for the location closest to you. 303-771-9800. I'm Mark Major with Aspen Goodyear.
Make this the year you find love. I'm relationship expert Dawn Yannick, and I want to tell you about a guide I've written for Match.com that will change the life of anyone who's looking for a meaningful relationship. It's called How to Find the Right Person in 90 Days, and it's based on the millions of successful relationships Match.com has inspired over the past 10 years. Now, Match.com wants you to have it free. Finding love is one resolution you can keep. Get started today at Match.com with our guide, free. Visit Match.com for details.
Hey, buddy boy, listen up. You got to get to Radio Shack and get me the black Motorola Razr phone and a Bluetooth headset. This baby is a definite buy.
Singular Wireless is now at Radio Shack, so this week only, sign up and get Singular's exclusive black Motorola Razr for $29.99 with a free Bluetooth headset after $110 mail-in rebates. Don't just get a phone, get the right phone at Radio Shack. Good through 1706 with new two-year agreement and credit approval. $36 activation and up to $240 early termination fees apply. While supplies last, details in store.
It's Jay Marvin on AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk.
Abramoff will be ordered to pay a hefty price for his crime, approximately $26.7 million in restitution and taxes.
Jack Abramoff, he's going to roll. Michael Scanlon, he's going to squeal. And what's going to end up happening is a lot of lawyers on Capitol Hill are going to be implicated in this. 303-713-7600, J. Marvin. Hi today, 50. Good to have you along here on AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk. Let's go to the phones. We'll get Judd Legum of the Center for American Progress coming up in a few minutes here to talk more about the Abramoff scandal. Let's go to Lydia in Fort Collins. Lydia, good morning. You're on AM 760.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi.
I have a couple comments to make. First of all, I was listening to the Mike Malloy show late last night. And he spent a large portion of his time giving the background on Alice Fisher, the lady who is from the Justice Department, who it seems will be part of the prosecution of Abramoff.
Yeah, she's not going to be the only one involved, though.
That's kind of what I thought. My comment about that is he gave her a pretty critical profile in that she may be just one of, you know, the Bush recent appointees. Apparently he appointed her in September in a recent type appointment to kind of usher her in to be involved with this. But the question that we had was, if that's the case, then why didn't they just take Abramoff? Why did they allow him to plea? Because everybody knows a plea involves somebody, you know, giving information to get a reduced sentence.
Well, right, which is what you do.
Right.
Which is what Patrick Fitzgerald's trying to do.
Okay.
Which is what all prosecutors do. They try to squeeze the people on the bottom to get information about the people on the top.
That's kind of what we figured, because we watched her on the TV before we listened to this show, and she just sounded really provocative to me. Like,
well, provocative in what way?
Provocative in her description of Abramoff, the crime that he's committed, and their intent to pursue this, even if it goes all the way into the White House administration.
Well, they will. They'll pursue it as far as they can go. And you got to remember about her, she's only one person involved in this, and there are
people. Thank you for saying that.
There are people who work in the Justice Department who operate on these things who are career employees.
Okay, that's good to know, because he has a real wide listening audience as well. And it was just like, oh, my gosh, you know, you're really happy to hear this sort of thing, and then you discover, you know, all these little things that have gone.
Well, let me remind you about one other thing, too. This stuff is so widespread, so well documented, that a guy like Abramoff, who has all this money, doesn't plead and doesn't agree to give information, and neither does a guy like Scanlon, unless they absolutely know they're in trouble. So if Mike Malloy's contention is that because Alice Fisher is involved in the Justice Department, that the fix is in, I think Mr. Malloy is spinning a fantasy. Thanks, Lydia. I appreciate the call. Let's go to B in Denver. B, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Hi, Jay.
Hi, B. How are you?
I'm good. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Anyway, just a small clarification on the Chris Matthews story is that that event, it might have been postponed or canceled at the last minute and not even have occurred. Not that it changes much of anything, because I think he's still a sleazeball for involving himself with those people.
Well, yeah, how do you morally end up getting in bed with somebody like that?
I know. It's hard to explain if you consider yourself a journalist. And then to go on the air and backpedal on the whole affair and, you know, as you said earlier, say it has no legs and everything. But at any rate, it was supposed to happen right when we invaded Iraq. And whether or not it's true or not that it did or didn't happen, the fact still remains that Matthews was, you know, all set to host an apparently all Republican fundraiser for Abramoff.
With a phony sham organization.
Yeah,
and with, yeah, you know, I mean, I think this speaks volumes about Matthews. And, you know, Matthews falls into the same category as Bob Woodward, who went around and appeared on CNN's, Larry King show and various other talking head shows, bashing Fitzgerald, playing down the investigation in the Valerie Plame leak. And then what does it turn out? Well, it turns out that Mr. Woodward knew and had knowledge of, you know, who was the leaker, who leaked the story. And he's trying to minimize it. That's a definite conflict of interest, and I think this thing with Matthews and Abramoff is a definite conflict of interest, too. And I think that Chris Matthews ought to not only explain, he ought to come forward and explain this not only to MSNBC, but more important, he ought to come forward and explain it to us.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't find myself holding my breath, though. And as an aside, I certainly would be interested in Rick Santorum's explanation for what he was doing there.
Yeah, me too. Mr. Morals, right?
Right.
Your family values. Is it a family value to hang out with a scumbag?
Yeah.
Is that what you teach your children, Rick? I wonder. And I'll tell you something. Well, I hope this sucks him totally down the tubes.
Oh, Santorum's going down, as are a lot of other people. Anyway, thanks, Jay.
Thanks, B. Thanks, McCall. Bye. Appreciate it. Yeah, I'd love to see Rick Santorum get his. Go Bob Casey, Jr. All right, Judd Legum coming up from the Center for American Progress, and we'll get their take and Judd Legum's take on the Jack Abramoff scandal. We'll take more of your phone calls at 303-713-7600. Plus, some very interesting statistics, a very interesting poll about Congress in general. That's all coming up here. 7:30, AM 760. Look at progressive traffic.
And we're certainly dealing with a crowded drive this morning, that's for certain. And sunshine popped up and clouds rolled in quickly, so hopefully that sunshine is not going to be too big of a factor right now. But we're starting to see slowness eastbound 6th Avenue from getting over towards I-25, eastbound Boulder Turnpike from just after Sheridan down to Pecos. 270 still crowded crossing Commerce City. Southbound I-25 is backed up from 104th. Very busy crossing downtown and stop and go from Alameda to Hampton. Morning is going to be down south along C-470 eastbound Quebec. That's that roller crash. It's off to the right shoulder. No lanes of the highway blocked, but backups are past Broadway. I want to use County Line as alternate there. Take a look at the weather today. Mostly sunny and windy. Highs up around...
Imagine living truly debt-free. No credit card debt. No car payments. No mortgage. Just your daily living expenses. And you can do this with just the money you already make. I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth program. I did it, and so have nearly a 500,000 others using my proven system.
I'm completely debt-free now, thanks to John Commuta.
I will be able to pay off my house in approximately 2.5 years on a 30-year...
It works no matter how much debt you have. My system doesn't consolidate your debt. It eliminates it. It's easy, risk-free, and works with any income level.
And once we got on the system, we were able to eliminate about 90% of our debt.
I never have to worry about who's calling me or who's knocking on my door.
Call now. I'll show you a free tape that will show you the power of my proven system. 800-900-554 1-800-900-5541. That's 1-800-900-554.
Thanks for joining me. Hey, Rocky's Autos is having a training seminar. Now, look, you know what? If you're unhappy in your current career and you're thinking about making a change and you want to earn anywhere from $7,000 to $10,000 if you're a top sales producer, you can do this at Rocky's Autos. So reserve your seat today at 303-426-4646. Space is limited. Let me tell you what's coming up. Rocky's is holding their second annual introductory auto sales training seminar. And they want to show you how you can be an important part of a growing team. And they have the best inventory in Colorado and the best location in Colorado. And they have the best support in Colorado. And as I said, their top earners make between $7,000 and $10,000 per month. Space is limited. Plan on spending 3 hours with Rocky, and you can see if Rocky's Autos is for you. Now, this is coming up on Monday, January the 9th. They're going to have registration and snacks between 5 and 6 p.m., and then the seminar between 6 and 9 p.m., and it's all happening at the Denver Marriott West, 1717 Denver West Marriott Boulevard in Golden, Colorado. So call now to reserve your seat, 303-426-4646. Ask for my buddy Colby and my buddy Dave, 303-426-4646, 2,000 minimum training guarantee. If you want to change careers and you want to get involved with good people, and I talk about them all the time, and Rockies is good people, find out more at 303-426-4646.
Hi, this is Dave Logan. I have a house full of windows from Regency Bristol Windows. Log on to bristolwindows.com and register and your house full of windows absolutely free. That's bristolwindows.com.
Regency Windows.
Want to be an eBay entrepreneur? Then get your free CD that's showing people how to make a fortune with online auctions like eBay. So easy. This software is actually illegal in some states, but not yours. So pick up the phone and get your free CD from Internet Speedway now. Make a fortune with this system while it's still legal in your state. 1-800-700-5903. 1-800-700-5903. 1-800-700-5903.
Don't procrastinate. Call the mortgage store right now at 303-423-C171 and start saving money today. It's fast, it's easy, and they're open evenings and weekends. The mortgage store, 303-423-7171.
Nathan, Eggs, and Jay Marvin on AM 760 in the morning.
Boulder's Progressive Talk.
Good morning. 7:26. On AM 760, Boulder's up, Progressive Talk, 726. What's wrong with me? 75, 25 minutes in front of 8. High today of around 50. We're talking about the Jack Abramoff scandal. Jay Marvin with you, and it's good to have you along. Let's go to Judd Legum of the Center for American Progress. Always a pleasure, Judd, to have you on the program. Morning, and let's talk about the Abramoff scandal.
Great. Good to be back with you.
Yeah, it's good to have you on. Okay, brief sketch here, because I tried to do it between the 7 and the 7:30 hour, and it's kind of complicated. Abramoff is charged with what?
Abramoff is charged with a number of things, including tax evasion. He's charged with fraud, bribery of public officials, and I think what it basically goes down to is he's pushing a lot of levers with money, influence, and favors to try to benefit himself and his clients. And so that's really what's been going on.
All right. Is this essentially a GOP scandal, or will there be some Democrats touched by this as well?
Well, I think here's the deal. Abramoff is definitely a Republican guy. He gave all his money to Republicans. Most of the people who have the most extensive involvement, people like Tom DeLay, Bob Ney, Conrad Burns, they're all Republicans. Now, there's some Democrats who received money from Abramoff's client who did some things that were favorable to Abramoff's clients. And so it's going to have to shake out to see, well, was that appropriate or not? I don't think smoking guns on Democrats yet, like there are Republicans. So for right now, it's a Republican scandal, but we'll just have to kind of wait and see.
How extensive is this going to be? How big is this story going to be? I mean, is this going to be one of the biggest political scandals maybe the last 10, 20 years, and one of the biggest stories of X?
I think absolutely. Wall Street Journal is reporting today that Abramoff has information that could implicate up to 60 members of Congress. And we're not talking about a slap on the wrist or an admonishment. We're talking about members of Congress who may be going to jail. So, you know, this could be one of the biggest corruption scandals ever. And when you start to look into it, the number of people who are involved in the extent of the involvement and the brazenness in which Abramoff operated at, it's going to be a really big story.
737 on AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk. Judd Legum with us from the Center for American Progress. Okay, we know Bob Ney is involved. We know that Tom DeLay, it touches Tom DeLay. We know that it touches Conrad Burns. Have you heard any buzz out there about other people who may be involved in this?
Yeah, there's quite a few. I'll just tick off a few of them. You've got people, one, Dennis Hassert, Speaker of the House. He's somebody who's held fundraisers at Abramoff's restaurant, which was called Signatures. And here's a guy who's from Illinois who really didn't have a lot of interest in Native American issues, and after he started receiving money from Abramoff's clients, started sending letters to the Department of the Interior and other people on behalf of that. You got people like John Doolittle, who not only was in the Abramoff skyboxes, who was doing favors on behalf of Abramoff clients, but also whose wife was involved in raising money for some of the nonprofit front groups that Abramoff was running. It's another mechanism, another lever for him to push the funnel money to himself and to clients and to members of Congress. There's a lot of people both high up on the hierarchy and kind of lower down who could get mixed up in this.
Hassert says he's going to return the money, $69,000, I believe it was, that he received from Abramoff. He's going to return that to charity. Do you think that gets him off the hook?
Well, I don't think so. I mean, I think it's probably best for people who receive money from Abramoff to give it back or to give it to charity, I guess, is the most appropriate thing. But at the same time, if you receive that money and abused your public office to do favors, you're supposed to be representing your constituents, and just because you give the money back, it doesn't make everything okay.
I mean, I would love nothing more than to see Hastert get into trouble. I would just groove on it. I mean, it would be it would just be too much of a New Year's present. All right, here's another question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Can Democrats, because we're going into the midterm elections here in November, can Democrats, do they smell blood in the water, and can they capitalize on this?
Yeah, I think they can, but the way to do it isn't necessarily to just let the Republicans self-destruct. I think what you've got to do is come out there with a reform agenda, say that we have a way to clean things up, to things back on the level, and to push that out there. There's been some members of Congress, Dave Obey, who have some good ideas. I think they could go further, but I think if they go on the offensive and show people that there's a better way, they're going to benefit. If they just try to sit back and rest on their laurel, I think by the time November 06 rolls around, they might not have as big of an advantage as they think.
Tentacles of this reach up into the White House?
Oh, absolutely. You know, Abramoff is very close to the White House, really bragged a lot of his connections to Karl Rove. There's also a really interesting story in the L.A. Times last August about how there was a U.S. attorney who was investigating another shady deal that Abramoff had going down in Guam the day after he issued the subpoena. He was an attorney down there since 1991. The day after he issued the subpoena, he was demoted by Bush and replaced by somebody who was recommended to Karl Rove. So I think that's another whole story that's going to unfold is the close connections of Abramoff to the administration.
We have a talk show host on this show. He's also on Air America late at night, and a few people called up about this morning, that Alice Fisher is linked to the Bush administration. Do you think it's going to have any effect on this? I don't think it will, because there's career people in the Justice Department who are working on this.
Yeah, you know, I've heard that too. Certainly whenever you see something like that, it's cause for concern. But on the other hand, it's gone pretty far already, and you've got Abramoff under pretty much under the gun here, has to cooperate or he's going to see a bigger sentence than he wants. So I think that, you know, right now you've got to give the career attorneys and the Justice Department the benefit of the doubt, and it looks like they're handling this seriously.
Plus, you know what, it makes it all the more juicy that she has got connections, because then they can't turn around and say, well, this is a political witch hunt.
Exactly. I think that's right. I think that's what they'd like to do. Certainly they did that with Ronnie Earle. They would have liked to do it with Pat Fitzgerald, but they had problems. And you know, there's some benefits to that as well, as long as the prosecution is conducted fairly and vigorously.
All right. Last question. Mm-hmm. Does this do irreparable damage to the Republican Party?
Well, I think it could signal the beginning of the end. You know, I think there's a lot of cynicism out in the country that people think that this type of stuff goes on every day. But I think as the details go out and as people start learning more about what Abramoff did and what was really going on, that they people are going to realize that this was a whole different level of corruption, and they may get fed up with the people who are in power right now.
Boy, I hope you're right. Plug your website because you send out daily briefings about what's going on, and it's one of the best organizations out there going. And for full disclosure, I am a donor. But give your website where people can check out more.
Yeah, if you want to go and get that newsletter, you go to progressreport.org. You can check out a sample there, and you can sign up to get it every day.
Judd, you're the man. Thank you so much for being on this morning.
Thanks a lot, Jay.
Okay, we'll talk to you. There's Judd Legum with the Center for American Progress. All right, your calls about the Abramoff scandal at 303-713-7600. By the way, Judd Legum just talked about the fact that Americans may be fed up with the corruption that's going on out there. Question is, can the Democrats capitalize on it? Do you think they can? And there's a poll out about the American public's view of Congress. I'll get into it coming up here. 303-713-7600. Do you think the Democrats can capitalize on the Abramoff situation and your view of the Abramoff scandal? I got two lines open, and we'll get into your calls. And I'm going to give you this poll all coming up here on AM 760. Progressive Talk. Jay Marvin along with you. Thanks for joining us here this morning. 744, 60 minutes from the clock.
Progressive traffic.
Not too bad of a drive this morning. Really kind of typical stuff as far as traffic slowdowns everywhere you're driving. I-25 corridor, Boulder Turnpike, I-70, 270, all loaded up in the usual spots we see in the mornings. It's eastbound C-470 that's still struggling stop and go from just after Lucent, getting up towards this rollover crash at Quebec. It's all off to the right shoulder, no lanes to the highway block, but curiosity jamming certainly adding to the delays out on the south end of town. You're heading up into the high country, I-70 corridor, some icy spots starting from Georgetown as you continue west, and they're doing avalanche control over Bell Pass intermittent.
If I told you that you could put up a brand new building and save up to half the cost and up to half the time as similar conventional construction, it probably sounds too good to be true. Well, just by picking up the phone, I can prove it to you. If you need retail, office, or warehouse space, or if your church or school wants to expand and save money, you need General Steel. Call today, and we'll prove to you that your new building can go up in about half the time, and you'll save up to half the cost. Dial 1-800-220-1320. We'll help you customize your building. You choose the size. You can even add the look of brick, stucco, or stone to achieve the look you want.
If you still think this sounds too good to be true, then pick up the phone and call. The information is free. 1-800-220-1320. Call General Steel and find out how you can put up a brand new building in about half the time and save up to half the cost of similar conventional construction. Call now. 1-800-220-1320. 1-800-220-1320.
500-2883. 1-800-500-2883.
Homeowners, the holidays are over. Paying for them may not be. If the holiday season stuffed your stocking with high interest rate credit card statements, there has never been a time to call the mortgage store than today.
Jason Rauschelbach, CEO of the Mortgage Store.
The average family has $12,000 in credit card debt. You can make those payments month after month and never see your balances go down.
Call the Mortgage Store today. Just one phone call is all it takes to get you started saving hundreds of dollars every month.
We'll make it easy for you to pay off those credit cards, and it's tax deductible.
The Mortgage Store does the shopping for you and guarantees to save you money. There's no application fees, no out-of-pocket closing costs. Now, how's that for a fresh start for the new year?
There has never been a better time to call the Mortgage Store than today.
Call the Mortgage Store now. 303-423-7171. That's 423-7171. The Mortgage Store, where America goes for mortgages.
Coming this January, all new Hallmark Channel mystery movies, new crimes, new cases. Leah Thompson in Jane Doe, Kelly Martin in Mystery Woman, and introducing a new detective. You were expecting me? Dick Van Dyke in the world premiere of Murder 101. Premiere Saturday night at 9, 8 Central. The Hallmark Channel mystery movie. A new chance to uncover the truth.
That was pretty slick.
Only on Hallmark Channel.
Get your smile on. I've been thinking about a sandwich and chips all morning.
How do you like the new baked Lay's cheddar and sour cream potato crisps?
They don't do baked. Yeah, I want to read it with
nine centimeters. That's about 3.5 inches on my brain.
For his other tumors, Steve had radiation and chemotherapy, which were successful. But for the large brain tumor, Steve came to Rocky Mountain CyberKnife, where we're improving lives with effective, painless, non-surgical tumor treatments.
Treatment with CyberKnife was no more difficult than going to the dentist. And afterward, the tumor was gone, completely. There wasn't even any scarring. It was just gone. To be here a year later, after initially being given a 5% chance of survival, I feel very lucky.
At Rocky Mountain CyberKnife, we're revolutionizing treatment, restoring hope, and improving lives. If you or someone you love has a tumor, call us today at 303-448-4620.
It's Jay Marvin on AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk.
The wrongdoing that he apparently now is acknowledging he was involved in is outrageous. And if he broke laws, he needs to be held to account, and he needs to be punished. And beyond that, I think we'd just be speculating about things.
That's Scott McClellan, White House mouthpiece. Gee, does he apply that same standard to George W. Bush about breaking the law? 7:49, 11 minutes away from my 8 o'clock high today of around 50. Jay Marvin hanging in here with you. And before we go to the calls here at 303-713-7600, we're talking about the Jack Abramoff scandal. About half of the U.S. adults believe most members of Congress are corrupt. This is from a poll released on Tuesday. According to the CNN USA Today Gallup poll, 49% of the respondents said most members of Congress are corrupt, although 46% of the respondents said most aren't. The margin of sampling error, plus or minus 4.5%, makes it clear that the perception of congressional politicians is largely negative. Congress's image could emerge as an election topic, with 55% of respondents saying corruption will be the most important or the very important issue to consider when voting in November, when all 435 House seats and 33 Senate seats will be decided. How about that? All right, let's go to the phones. Here's Mark in Lakewood. Mark, you're on 760. Good morning.
Hello, how you doing?
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing good. Hey, my point is, you know, they keep talking about giving this money to charity, Dennis Hastert giving the money to charity that he's received. I think that's corrupt, too. I think that that money should be put in a big fund and given back to the Antigua Indians. You're not a good person if you steal someone else's money and give it to someone else. I mean, what kind of heart is that?
Yeah, those are excellent points. I believe Abramoff, though, has to return a lot of money to his ex-clients, including these tribal organizations that he supposedly lobbied on behalf of and claimed that they were morons and troglodytes in emails to Michael Scanlon. But you're right about Hastert. I mean, Hastert should return the money to Abramoff so Abramoff can earn the money to the people that he ripped off.
I think they all should. You know, I don't think you give other people's money to charity. That's not the heart.
Excellent point. Mark, thank you, man. Appreciate the call.
Okay.
All right, have a good day. Let's go to Rich in the Colorado Springs. Rich, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Good morning, Jay. How are you?
I am doing great, man. You?
I'm good. Hey, this is a great show this morning.
Thank you.
You are really touching on the topics that really matter. I'm surprised that only 50% of the population believes Congress is corrupt.
Yeah, I thought, that's not really. But you know what? How about the 55% who say that corruption is going to be like their number one topic?
You know, this is critical because we were talking yesterday about the media and its role in making the stuff evident to people, you know, really staying with it. And if people really are saying that this is going to be a key issue, you know, 9 months from now, I love them. I'm hoping that that is really true.
Well, this poll says that corruption is going to be an issue. But then the other part of it is, as Judd Legum talked about, there's a pretty good GOP consultant, Rich Gale, who appears on CNN every once in a while. He's quoted in a Washington Post article this morning as saying that that this could be a pretty good issue for the Democrats, even though there are some Democrats who will be tainted by this, but it's largely a Republican scandal.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, let's face it, the last 5 years have been nothing but one scandal or another that has not really been brought out to the public. This one might be too big that they really can't hide it. But I'm hoping the Democrats can make great hay out of this, you know, the upcoming election. But I just wanted to leave with one thing that Noam Chomsky said about 30 years ago regarding the media, because I think it's so poignant, especially today. And he said that the difference between the Soviet Union and the United States is that because the people in the Soviet Union know they're living under a totalitarian regime, they don't believe what's coming out in the media. They know it's all put forth just for their consumption and to bring about a certain political perspective. They didn't believe it. And I'm hoping people in this country realize that what you're hearing from talking heads like Chris Matthews, as you brought up, is just a bunch of bull.
Well, you know what? I hope you're right. Rich, thanks, man. Have a great day.
You too.
Okay, we'll talk to you. Let's go to Denny in Boulder County. Denny, good morning. You're on AM 760.
Good morning, Jay. First-time caller to Air America.
You mean AM 760?
AM 60.
Because I'm not technically on Air America. But go ahead, man. What's your point?
Anyway, yeah. I'm a Democrat. I'm a liberal. And I'm a little bit concerned and offended that you are making this as a way that, you know, the Democrats are going to get them. The Democrats are going to get them. I think that the approach needs to be that wherever there is corruption, wherever there is payola, those people need to go. And if you're just rah-rah, you know, we support the Democrats and we're going to get those dirty Republicans, it's just going to get spun into a partisan issue. And people will then, you know, go back to, you know, what their core gut belief is. You know, the neocons are going to be defensive and the Democrats are going to to attack, but it's just it's going to end up in a pissing.
Well, contest. I never meant, and if you got this impression, you know, I apologize for it. I never meant to say that because somebody is Democratic, if they took money from Abramoff, that they should get off the hook. But if you look at Abramoff's history, if you look at the people that he associated with, if you look at the people that he's been involved with, this by and large a GOP scandal. And most of the experts, most of the people out there, including, Republicans, like GOP consultant, this guy Galen, Rich Galen, who I've seen on numerous talking head shows, I mean, even he acknowledges that this is a Republican problem because Abramoff's connections go deep in the Republican Party. He was a Bush pioneer, which means he raised over $100,000 for George W. Bush, and the majority of the people who received money from him are Republicans. And I think that if you're a Democrat and you're sitting there in the House of Representatives or you're sitting there in the Senate and you've done nothing wrong and you have a clean record, I think that, you know what, it's very appropriate to stand up and say that this is, as Nancy Pelosi said yesterday, this is a culture of corruption, that this type of corruption keeps getting repeated, not only with the Abramoff situation, but with Tom DeLay under suspicion, with Bill Frist under suspicion, with Duke Cunningham having to come forward, the Dukester, and cry and say that he's sorry, with Michael Scanlon being involved, with this guy, Safabian, who was part of the procurement office of the White House, who got arrested on the job and let off in handcuffs. He's also got Republican connections. So I think it's perfectly legitimate for Democrats who have not been touched by this to be able to stand up and say, hey, you know something? This is a culture, and this is largely a Republican problem. And this shows you that when you have a majority party that is in control of the government and goes around unchecked, this is what happens.
Okay. By the way, I want to support the earlier the caller just before me, Mark, about, you know, the money should go back to the Indians.
I agree.
The point I made is that I'm sitting here this morning hearing you ranting about the Democrats should do this. The Democrats
answered that. I just answered that by telling you that I apologize. This is this is the way I came off. That if it's a Democrat involved in taking the money, that a Democrat should be punished just as much as a Republican. But I suggest that you go and that you Google this topic. And that you go and read the various articles that are out there from the Washington Post, the Los Angeles Times, the Wall Street Journal, to the New York Times. And what you're going to find out is that this is largely a Republican scandal. Have a good day, and thank you so much for your call. Coming up next, we're going to talk about immigration. And between the 9 and 10 o'clock hour, we'll go to open phones. So if you want to talk about the Abramoff scandal then, you can do so. But we're going to talk about immigration policy with Wade Buchanan, president of the Bell Policy Center. That's...
My friends laughed at me when I said I could order in French, but when the waiter came, I just smiled and said, Je vous voulez le fri.
Millions of people everywhere are learning new languages faster than they thought possible with Rosetta Stone software, and we guarantee that you can too. To prove it, we want you to try amazing software free. Just request a free demo CD-ROM and see how fast you can learn a language. For your free CD-ROM, call 1-800-339-1195. Discover the secret to learning languages that U.S. diplomats, NASA, and the Peace Corps have known for years. And best of all, there's no no useless memorization, and no boring drills.
If my friends were impressed by that, just wait till we go to Chinatown next week.
Experience fastest way to learn any of 28 languages, guaranteed. Request your free CD-ROM by calling 1-800-339-1195. That's 1-800-339-1195.
Recovery services and investigational study medication. If you're experiencing the bothersome symptoms of BPH or enlarged prostate, call the Essential Group at 1-866-77-STUDY. That's 866-77-STUDY. Once again, the number is toll-free, 1-866-77-STUDY. 6677 study. The first step is your call.
AM 760, Progressive Talk and CBS News. Local, national, and news from around the world.
AM 760.
Now, CBS News.
CKCN, Morton, Denver, Boulder.
CBS News. I'm Steve Kathan.
We were hoping for 13 miracles. We did receive one miracle, and we're clinging to that.
Governor Joe Manchin, after just one miner survived the disaster in West Virginia, 12 died. Dr. Larry Roberts is treating the 26.
67-year-old showed no sign of carbon monoxide poisoning.
We have all the hopes that he will continue to improve as we aggressively manage him, and which is what we're doing in our intensive care unit.
Overnight, there was celebration as relatives were told 12 miners survived. Then hours later, got the bad news.
Tell me why they done this to our family. That's all I ask.
Mining executive Ben Hatfield blamed a miscommunication for it all. He says the miners who died tried to block deadly gases with a barricade.
The miners in the barricade, just from a very brief information that we've received from the rescue teams, their injuries seem to be related to the carbon monoxide poisoning.
The up and down emotions, the pain of death have to be dealt by the families, says Dr. Joyce Brothers.
It's very much more difficult to be told everything's okay and then to have it absolutely go the other way. So it's extremely important that these families be offered an opportunity to talk to someone.
In Iraq, mourners became victims when a suicide bomb went off.
It's believed that the bomber concealing an explosive vest joined the funeral procession as it gathered in the cemetery, made his way into the middle of the crowd before setting off the bomb.
CBS Gao says 32 were killed north of Baghdad. An attack on a 60-vehicle fuel convoy left three tankers destroyed, more than a dozen damaged. Now that a Republican super lobbyist has cut a deal with prosecutors, members of Congress could be snared in the aftermath.
I'm Mark Miller at the White House. Wanting to avoid any link to the corrupt lobbyist, the remnants of the Bush-Cheney campaign is ridding itself of $6,000 contributions from Jack Abramoff, his wife, and the Indian tribe he represented. The money is being donated to the American Heart Association.
Fire crews in Texas are trying to create a line around the perimeters of major wildfires. In Oklahoma, CBS's Stephen Hoffman tells us.
That's the sound of dry, dry Oklahoma grass in Wovoka, Oklahoma. Fire people here very lucky, they say, because this could have gone much larger very quickly.
Unbeaten's USC and Texas will square off in the Rose Bowl tonight for college football's national title. 79-year-old coaching legend Joe Paterno was up late last night as his Penn State team outlasted Florida State in triple overtime in the Orange Bowl.
I kept saying to myself, when are we going to get this snow? I kept looking at my watch, 12:30, 12:45. I'm usually asleep 3 hours at that time.
In the early going on Wall Street, the Dow is ahead 12 points. This is CBS News.
The following is a paid commercial message.
There seems to be a bit of a debate going on regarding the latest in cold sore treatments. Apparently, there's a new one-day cold sore symptom treatment called Relieve that relieves symptoms in just a day. And although it's new in the market, it's doing incredibly well. It's been my experience in this world. Once in a great while, a new product or new breakthrough occurs, and it makes the world a better place. See, this Relieve is doing just that, making the world a better place. This treatment has been developed for 15 years, and although it's fairly new to the stores, it's been greatly successful helping people relieve the pain and symptoms of cold sores really fast. Symptoms, including pain, began relieving in minutes and were relieved in only 24 hours. That's a wonderful thing for anyone who suffers from those dreadful outbreaks. Relieve is spelled R-E-L-E-E-V. You can buy Relieve at CVS, Walgreens, Eckerd Drugs, Jewel Osco Savon, Rite Aid, Duane Reade, Fred Meyer, Brooks, Kmart, Ralph's, Raley's, and other fine stores.
The Men's Warehouse Winter Sale is on now. Save up to 50% on select styles.
AM 760, progressive traffic.
We're starting to see big improvement on the highways right now. Things looking a lot better for southbound I-25 coming in from the north end. The turnpike's starting to loosen up. 6th Avenue's back to normal. 270's a much better drive getting across Commerce City. It's that drive through T-Rex. We're still dealing with stop-and-go traffic southbound from 670, northbound from 225 up through Colorado. Eastbound C-470 is still in the cleanup stages of an earlier rollover crash at Quebec. That traffic there is still heavy from Lucent getting on over. Taking a look at your weather today, mostly sunny and windy, up to 48 for a high.
The warning signs of a stroke include sudden numbness or weakness of the face. If you experience this, call 911 immediately. Visit strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE today. A public service announcement from the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
East meets West tonight on Altitude. All the action begins at 6:30 tonight on Comcast Channel 25 or in high definition on Channel 665.
AM 760.
The real story 24/7 on AM 760.
Jay Marvin, 6 to 10.
Al Franken, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Ed Schultz, 1 to 4.
Randy Rhoads, 48, the best.
Because then again, everything right. is on the left.
Oh, I listen to Jay a lot. I love Ed.
That's great.
Randy Rhoads.
Oh, absolutely.
I love it.
You're doing a great job.
AM 760.
Boulder's Progressive Talk.
The Company Corporation does not offer financial or legal advice.
Running a small business is like raising a child. You nurture it, giving up your time and energy just to make sure it grows and stays healthy. But if you haven't incorporated yet, it could all disappear in an instant. Your car, your life savings, even your home. Fortunately, incorporating your business is fast and easy. Request a free guide today. Call 1-800-500-2883. 1-800-500-2883. 1-800-500-2883.
This is the Jay Mark Show on AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk.
Good morning. 8:06, 6 minutes after 8. 50 degrees under partly sunny skies. Man, I hope it is not as windy today as it was yesterday. Jay Marvin here, AM 760, Progressive Talk. Nice to have you along. Let's talk to Wade Buchanan. He's the president of the Bell Policy Center. They're based here in Denver. And he says, the Bell Policy Center says that state and local governments are really missing the mark when it comes to undocumented immigrants. From cutting them off from receiving government services, it fails to solve any real problems. And Mr. Buchanan, welcome and good morning.
Hello.
Hi, Wade. Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, good to have you on this morning. I don't know whether to call you Wade or Mr. Buchanan. What should you choose?
Call me Wade. If I can call you Jay, you can call me Wade.
You can call me Jay anytime. All right. You know, immigration is a hot issue. There was an article yesterday out in the Washington Post, or maybe it was the day before, about how the public is kind of ambivalent about immigration,
right.
That they're very undecided on what to do. The Republicans, both here in the state of Colorado and also nationally, are going to make immigration one of their key platforms. There's an article this morning in the Denver Post by Jim Hughes that says, Dems talk English proficiency. GOP lawmakers are also working on an immigration reform bill.
Mm-hmm.
Why this popular notion of cutting off illegal immigrants from such things as medical services, education, why is this a bad thing?
Well, it's a let me back up for a second, Jay, and tell you that the report that we put out, which we did late last week, really is focused on answering a very specific question, which was that there's a proposed ballot measure for this coming November that would cut off all unmandated services for undocumented workers. And what our report shows is that the mandated services like health care and education for the kids, who are by and large U.S. citizens, by the way, are what cost the most, and the rest of the services probably cost a lot more to enforce the measure than it would than it would in savings. So our point is not necessarily a bad idea in principle, but it is to say, this isn't going to do the job. This isn't going to save us any money. It's going to cost us more money. And if you really want to solve this problem, what you need to do is get at the real mismatch we have in policy between saying we want to seal off our borders and an economy that has plenty of jobs for folks who want to come across the border. So it's like trying to plug up a vacuum cleaner that's on high suction. We're creating 400,000 to 500,000 jobs for low-skill workers every year. We only allow about 100,000 legally into the country, and that means that we have a real imbalance.
All right, talk about what unmandated services, what does that mean?
Well, unmandated services would be things like public housing, food stamps, welfare, TANF, the Child Health Care Plus program, or Medicaid, or the actually undocumented folks, obviously the citizen children, if they are born in this country, have access to that. But that's one of the problems with the ballot measure, because they say unmandated services. It's not clear whether it goes so far as to include library cards, state park entrance, you know, riding on buses. And one of the real difficult parts of this ballot measure is that they say that any person who's here legally can sue the level of government if they don't think they're enforcing it properly. So what does that mean? Does that mean that if an undocumented person has a library card, does that mean if an undocumented person is riding a bus, that we're faced with litigation costs because someone feels that that's a unmandated service that's being provided. It's just, it's a poorly written law. It's a very bad idea. It's going to cost us more money than it saves. Look, these folks come here to work. They don't come here to access our public services. They come here to work. And as long as their job's here, they're going to come. And so the solution is to find a rational way to match the jobs with willing workers in a way that does not mean that we're dealing with an undocumented population that has to hide and all the attendant problems with that.
But, you know, you've got so many different plans out there. You've got a lot of animosity towards, quote-unquote, illegals. There are a lot of people who constantly beat this drum, including Tom Tancredo.
Yes.
On CNN, Lou Dobbs does it every night with his broken border stuff. And on one hand, you know, you hear about this thing about, well, we don't want them here. But on the other hand, economically,
we do want them here.
You know, yeah, no matter how much you try to talk to people about this, and I've tried on radio to talk to people about this, we cannot survive without them because they do jobs that Americans won't take. But then people will say, well, you know, then what the answer there is that we need to, you know, raise wages so that Americans, you know, will do those jobs. And that I get some people who say that that's just simply not true.
Well, it's a very misguided and poorly understood argument. What is going? First of all, we have to understand what's going on with our own economy. We have a huge baby boomer generation that, as it ages and retires, is going to be freeing up many thousands and millions of high-skilled jobs. We want the next generation of native-born citizens to take those jobs. The answer to that is to get them educated. If native-born citizens are having to compete for low-skilled jobs with immigrants, whether they're legal or undocumented, that's a failure of our education system. That's not a failure of our immigration system. The answer is to graduate more of our kids, make sure they're prepared to take those high-skilled jobs that the economy is freeing up, and then have a much more rational, realistic guest worker program at the federal level that allows in a much more rational way for people to enter the country to do the jobs they want to do. It really frees up that bottom rung of the economic ladder for immigrants and moves the citizen population up the ladder. That's really what we ought to be trying to do. The idea that you can accomplish any of this by sealing off the border or focusing on enforcement without really dealing with the real issue, which is the jobs are there and these folks are willing to take those jobs, can accomplish the problem. Governor Napolitano of Arizona said recently, heck, we could build a 50-foot fence. As long as there's jobs here, they'll build a 51-foot ladder. And that's the issue we need to deal with.
8:13, 13 minutes after 8 at AM 760 Progressive. Talk Wade Buchanan, president of the Bell Policy Center, www.thebell.org. But that's a very, very popular argument about sealing off the borders. It's a very, very popular argument about keeping immigrants out. The secondary argument, I guess, which is now gaining steam, which used to not be as popular because by and large, particularly in the GOP, they want to protect business interests, is to go after any employer that hires illegals. Now, Andrew Romanoff and the Democrats, one of the things they're talking about doing is they're talking about requiring any kids of illegal immigrants or legal immigrants that they have to have proficiency in English in order to get out of school, in order to graduate high school. I think that's a damn good idea.
Well, yeah. You know, I think anybody who wants to, you know, again, these are U.S. citizen kids. They better be able to speak English. They better be able to compete and participate in our economy and our society. English proficiency is a wonderful idea. It's separate from the English only concept. But the point is, the specific proposal that'll be potentially on the ballot this coming November that says, here's the solution. We're going to make Colorado an unfriendly place. These folks have crossed deserts. They've faced real hardship coming here. They come here for jobs. the idea that if they get denied a library card or they can't get a food stamp that somehow they'll go someplace else is just absolutely wrong. They're going to be here as their jobs for them, and what we will be doing is costing the taxpayers more money than we save. We won't be solving the problem, and we'll be opening the state up for tons of new litigation, which we can only guess at what the costs are. And by the way, the same for local government as well as the state. So it's a solution that misses the mark. What we really need to do is worry about how we have a more realistic guest worker program combined with enforcement, combined with return migration provisions at the federal level. That's the way to rationalize the system, not a hodgepodge of state or local provisions that will backfire on taxpayers.
Yeah, it all sounds good to me. I guess I'm a small minority of people who I don't fear immigration, both legally and a lot of times I don't fear it illegally, because I don't buy into the stereotypes that, you know, they get plucked out into the headlines about, well, illegal immigrants who come here shoot cops, illegal immigrants who come here get into auto accidents. There's many of them we never hear from because they're on a daily basis basically just trying to survive and go to work. And I know I'm in the minority about this, but you know something? If I had to lay money on this, I bet you this Colorado proposition that's going to be on the ballot, I bet you it passes.
Well, it well could, but we're certainly going to try to make sure that Colorado voters are well informed before they go to the polls about what's really at stake here. You know, you're right about the crime aspect of this, Jay. The statistics, the real studies that have looked at it show that the undocumented population commits no more crimes than no higher level of crime than comparable age group of native citizens. So it's really a red herring that people use. I really do think, I think there's an awful lot of people who have genuine concerns about the rationality of the system, about what's happening in the job market, about crime issues. We can deal with those. What's really insidious about this is for some people, the motivation is really an underlying racial issue. One of the proponents of this ballot measure, in a recent speech he prepared for a group of like-minded folks, talked about how Denver has one of the largest Cinco de Mayo celebrations in the country as an example of why there's a problem that needs to be addressed. Well, you know, that sort of rhetoric clearly points to the fact that some folks are just uncomfortable with who these people are. That's the insidious part of this, Jay, I think, that we really need to confront and call it for what it is.
Yeah, you know what? I agree 100%. And who are you talking? Are you talking about Tom Tancredo here?
No, I'm talking about Mr. Heron, who's Bill Heron, I believe that's how you pronounce his name, who is the, he and his wife are the chief proponents of the ballot measure that's been proposed. And in a speech he gave in a speech he prepared that he wasn't able to give, but his wife gave on his behalf, in May of 2005 in Las Vegas to a summit called the United to Fight Summit, he talks an awful lot about this idea that the Reconquista, this idea that folks are coming here not for jobs, they're coming here to resettle the west of the United States and claim it for Mexico, and the idea that that we have a cultural war going on. That's the nature of what he's saying in his speech.
Yeah.
It's very troubling because this is a real issue. The number of jobs we have, how we fill them, how we match willing immigrants with willing employers, how we do it in a way that's safe for everyone, how we rationalize what's happening at the border, how we're fair to U.S. workers at the same time that we provide opportunities in this land of immigrants for new immigrants. Those are all very legitimate issues. But when we get down to some of the base motivations, not of everybody, not perhaps even of most people who are troubled by this issue, but certainly of some people, it's just a horrible distraction, and it's really the worst of the issue.
Yeah, we had somebody on from the Southern Poverty Law Center who, they investigate groups and people, white supremacists, and they have documented evidence, for instance, that Tom Tancredo takes money from groups of white supremacist feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that people in his district, and I think that people in the state of Colorado ought to, press him on this. Wade, thank you so much for your time. Really do appreciate it, and hope to have you on again.
Jay, thanks for having me.
Okay, you've got it. There's Wade Buchanan, who is the president of the Bell Policy Center. And if you want to check him out on the internet, go to thebell.org. All right, you want to talk about immigration here? We'll talk about it. Got Congressman Mark Udall coming up at 8:30, but I'll squeeze in as many calls as I can. 303-713-7600, AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk. Jay Marvin along with you. Thank you for joining us here on AM 760.
A deadly infectious disease called meningococcal meningitis killed my daughter. Parents in Denver need to know it may be prevented through vaccination. My child did not have to die. Ask your doctor about immunization.
A message from the National Meningitis Association.
There was nothing left of our building, just piles of bricks and concrete.
Small business owner Jonathan Harlan of Jackson, Tennessee.
But because we had a plan, our clients never knew the difference.
Whether it's a natural disaster or a terrorist attack, every business needs an emergency plan. Prepare your business today by visiting www.ready.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Breezy tomorrow, highs right around 50. Right now it's 45. I'm Aaron O'Neill on AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk. Todd Helton says take the freeway to Freeway 4 and right now get loaded 03 for just $13.9. Selling new and used SUVs, pickups, fastest with thousands less is how they survive T-Rex. Get your loaded 03 Explorer today for just $13.9. Freeway 4 to I-25 and Evans or at cheaperforge.com.
It's amazing how you'll lose weight and keep it off or stop smoking once and for all using Gnosis. No pills, no patches, just success. John Morgan Seminars presents world-renowned hypnotherapist Doug O'Brien at Red Lion Denver Central Quebec, Tuesday, January 17th. Smoking cessation is at 6 p.m. Weight loss at 8 p.m. Call 800-735-6907 to reserve your space. Sessions are affordable at $59.95. Experts agree hypnotherapy is the best choice for permanent results. John Morgan Seminars have helped over 100,000 people. Call 800-735-6907.
Here's what satisfied customers are saying about the winter sale, now on at Men's Warehouse.
George, this is Tony Bonacorso, a satisfied customer. I walked into the store because you guys were having a sale. I bought coats, shirts, sports jackets. It was a wonderful sale. I think I really got a wonderful, wonderful buy. I saved over $1,100.
Hey, George. My husband, Don, said, let's go, let's go. We heard about the sale on the radio that you're having right now. So we went in, and we got more than we ever would have bargained for at any other store we could have ever gone to.
The Men's Warehouse Winter Sale would save us up to 50% on select styles, from corporate to casual.
The only way to beat a Men's Warehouse price is at the Men's Warehouse Winter Sale. I guarantee it. I'm George Zimmer, founder and CEO of Men's Warehouse.
The Winter Sale is soon. 12 Denver area stores. To reach the Men's Warehouse nearest you, call 1-800-776-SUIT.
Make this the year you find love. I'm relationship expert Dawn Yattuck, and I want to tell you about a guide I've written for Match.com that will change the life of anyone who's looking for a meaningful relationship. It's called How to Find the Right Person in 90 Days, and it's based on the millions of successful relationships Match.com has inspired over the past 10 years. Now, Match.com wants you to have it free. Finding love is one resolution you can keep. Get started today at Match.com with our guide, free. Visit Match.com for details.
Hey, buddy boy, listen up. You got to get to Radio Shack and get me the black Motorola Razr phone and a Bluetooth headset. This baby is a definite buy.
Singular Wireless is now at Radio Shack, so this week only, sign up and get Singular's exclusive black Motorola Razr phone for $29.99 with a free Bluetooth headset after $110 mail-in rebates. Don't just get a phone, get the right phone at Radio Shack.
Good through 1706 with new two-year agreement credit approval. $36 activation and up to $240 early termination fees apply. While supplies last, details in store.
Ed Schultz here, wishing you a happy 06 from all of us here at AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk.
Yeah, there you go, my man Big Eddie. You can hear him 1 to 4 here this afternoon on AM 760. Boulder's Progressive Talk. By the way, check out our new website. It's been redesigned and streaming problems have been corrected. That's AM760.net. All right, we're talking about immigration here and illegal immigration. 303-713-7600 if you want to talk about it. We've got Congressman Mark Udall coming up on the John Murtha resolution and also about the NSA scandal. I wanted to give you this information. A Washington Post ABC News poll taken in mid-December found Americans alarmed by the federal government's failure to do more to block the flow of illegal immigration and the critical of the impact of the illegal immigration on the country, but receptive to aspirations of undocumented immigrants living and working in the United States. Now, this same poll found that 56% of Americans believe that illegal immigrants have done more to hurt the country than help it, with 37% saying they helped the country. About 3 in 5 Republicans and a bare majority of Democrats agree that illegal immigrants are detrimental to the country. The only groups in the poll who disagreed were people with graduate degrees, those with income exceeding $100,000, and non-white residents. The post-ABC poll did not include enough Hispanics to provide an accurate reading of their sentiment, but a Pew Hispanic Center survey last summer found that 2 in 3 Latinos said that undocumented migrants helped the country. Still, many of Americans expressed support for trying to help those already here to stay and achieve legal status. The post-ABC poll asked whether illegal immigrants who are working here should be given the opportunity to keep their jobs and eventually apply for legal status or be rounded up and deported to their native countries. 3 in 5 Americans said undocumented workers should be given the opportunity to stay and become citizens. I don't fear illegal immigration. I think they do take jobs that nobody else is going to take. And on top of that, I'm just not scared of them. And I think there's a rational way to work this problem out. Let's go to Paul in Denver. Paul, if I can get him on here. Paul, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Good morning, Jay.
Hey, how are you, Paul?
Hey, I'm doing well. I totally agree with you. I love all the illegal immigrants that are here. You know, unless they, you know, have some kind of criminal background. But I did read an interesting article by a doctor from a hospital in the Denver area who wrote and said that he really believes that there is an extreme burden being put on the hospitals by all the people who it's not just illegal immigrants, of course, but a lot of them do use the hospital services, and I guess that's one area I'm a little concerned about, you know, that they something needs to be done to help them as far as health care costs goes, you know.
Well, not only illegal immigrants, but the poor basically
right.
use the hospital systems, and that's why, you know, we're going to have to arrive at a time in this country where we're going to have to spread out the medical risk and go to some kind of a universal, payer system and some kind of health care system that, is a single-payer system, because medical costs are just skyrocketing at an incredible rate. You know, I don't love illegal immigrants. I'm not supposed to love them. But what I'm saying is like, I think I understand, like, why they're coming here for, as Mr. Buchanan said, and I agree with him 100%, looking for jobs. You know, that, I mean, that's basically why they're here. They're looking for work. And I think if, you know, any one of us found ourselves in the same position, I think we would do what it takes to get a job. So the question, how do we fix the situation? And we've got to come to some consensus on how to do it. And maybe a guest worker program is the way to go. Maybe giving illegal immigrants a way to mainstream themselves into society and become legal is the way to go. And then the other thing, which I've been advocating on this radio station forever and a day, which doesn't seem to catch on with anybody, and I don't understand why, is that there is inequities in Mexico, there is unequal redistribution of the wealth there, and why we don't lean on the Mexican government to clean that stuff up so that people feel like they, you know, don't have to leave home in order to seek a better life. I just don't understand. People basically, if you sit and talk to them, people basically do not want to leave home. But one of the things that the Mexican government is doing is they're making money off the remittance system. It's helping their economy for illegal immigrants who come here, work, and send money home. It's the remittance system, and we've got to look at Mexico, and we've got to tell them that they've got to clean this thing up. Yet nobody here seems to want to do that, and I just don't understand why. Thanks, Paul. Appreciate the call. And if you want to talk more about immigration, we'll get into it more between the 9 and 10 o'clock hour. Coming up next, though, we got Congressman Mark Udall. He'll talk about the MRSA situation and also about the NSA spy story. That's coming up next year on 760 Boulder's Progressive Talk, 830. Let's get a look at progressive traffic.
And we just about have a full recovery here on the highways. There's still some slow areas southbound I-25. is still slow and go from Alameda down through Hampton, although northbound through the T-Rex portion has recovered nicely. We're back to normal for the Turnpike. Everything up on the north end is rolling wide open, and from Thornton and North, 70s looking good. Southbound 225, a little backed up from Yosemite. Cleared up that rollover finally. Eastbound C-470 Quebec, it is completely off the highway, and that traffic there is getting a lot better. Weather today, mostly sunny, breezy, up to 40.
Whether it's a natural disaster or terrorist attack, every business needs an emergency plan. You can't control what happens, but you can be prepared. Visit www.ready.gov today. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Wonder, everyone loves Zantrex 3. The number one diet pill in America is available at stores nationwide. Zantrex 3.
Turn your computer into a radio. Listen live to AM 760 24 hours a day on AM760.net. Download podcasts from CBSN and AM 760. Boulder's Progressive Talk.
Do you really know your past, the history behind your family, and who you are? In less than 5 minutes, we can help you start to find out. At Ancestry, we help millions of people just like you connect with their family roots, from the recent past to 10 generations or more. We're so sure that we can find your family history, we'll send you a free report with fascinating facts on your family name at no cost to you. Call 1-800-300-3414. That's 1-800-300-3414. 1-800-300-3414.
8:31, 29 minutes in front of 9 o'clock here on AM 760. Boulder's Progressive Talk. Hey, you know what? Unhappy with your career? Want to do something else? Got sales experience? Or maybe you don't even have sales experience. Why not come to work for one of the best people along the Front Range? Rockies Autos, Colorado's number one volume dealer. They're having a free, and I stress this is free, automotive seminar. Now, seating is limited, so if you want to get in on this, give them a call today to reserve your seat, 303-426-4646. That's 303-426-4646. Rockies Autos will train you. Now, Rockies is holding their second annual introductory auto sales training seminar, and they want to show you how you can be an important part of a growing team. They have the best inventory in Colorado, the best location in Colorado, and good people to work for. Their top earners produce between $7,000 and $10,000 per month. This is limited, and plan on spending 3 hours to see what Rockies has got for you. That's coming up Monday. This thing's going to be January the 9th, 5 to 6 p.m. registration and snacks, and then they'll have a seminar between 6 and 9 p.m., so we're talking 3 hours of your time here. And it's going to be held at the Denver Marriott West, 1717 Denver West Marriott Boulevard, Golden, Colorado. So call now to reserve your seat and find out about this. 303-426-4646. Ask for my buddy Colby or my Bud Dave out there, 303-426-4646, $2,000 minimum training guarantee. If you want to change careers, and this sounds good to you, and, you know, what does it hurt to go find out, 303-426-4646, Rockies Autos, located at 63rd and Federal, good folks to know, good folks to buy from, and good folks to work for.
Don't procrastinate. Call the Mortgage Store right now at 303-423-7171 and start saving money today. It's fast, it's easy, and they're open evenings and weekends. The Mortgage Store, 303-423-7171.
If you're sick and tired of watching your eyes get weaker and weaker every year, repeat after me. I will take a stand against my weak eyesight.
I won't use my glasses as a crutch.
And I will no longer accept stronger prescriptions year after year.
Call right now for a free video to find out how you can strengthen your eyesight using the safe, natural solution. It's called the See Clearly Method. Call 1-800-508-7100. That's 1-800-508-7100. 1-800-508-7100.
Think of how much cash you have in your wallet or purse right now. Now, double it. MileHighMarket.com has half-price retailers that would like you to try them. Double your money and get things for half price at MileHighMarket.com.
It's Jay Marvin on AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk.
Hey, good morning. It's 8:34, 26 minutes in front of 9 o'clock. High today, 50. Jay Marvin, AM 760, Progressive Talk. Good to have you along here at 303-713-7600. Okay, we had a bunch of people here who wanted to talk about the Abramoff scandal, which we covered between 7 and 7:30. Got a bunch of people who want to talk about immigration, which we just got through covering. You can talk about those two things, and you can talk about anything else, from the West Virginia mine tragedy, which we talked about between 6 and 7 this morning, and about the media coverage of it. we're constantly analyzing the media here. I don't know about you, but I'm fascinated with the media in all aspects of it. And there are a number of really good books out there that deal with this about the media. David Brock has written a couple of good ones. Eric Alterman has written a good one. Tom Fenton has written a good one. So there's a couple of really good ones out there. Noam Chomsky does a great job of talking about the media's influence in America. So, you know, it doesn't take much for me to launch off on the media here. So we can talk about all of those things coming up between 9 and 10, as we always do every Monday through Friday. You know, we really play it kind of loose between 6 and 7, which is the non-power hour here. And then between 9 and 10, we try to get into anything that's on your mind. So that's basically how the show works. And as I said this morning, I'm not sure how many of you are with me at 6 and stay till 10. Some of you may depart at various times during the morning. So a lot of times I feel like I got to rehash this stuff. All right, let's go to the phone and talk to one of my favorite office holders, one of my favorite people out there, and who happens also to be my representative. Let's talk to Congressman Mark Udall. Congressman, welcome and good morning.
Hey, Jay, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. Good to have you on the program. All right, I know you got limited time, and I got a ton of stuff to cover. First of all, let's clear up the MRSA thing. You know, I heard originally that you had taken your name off of that. I was absolutely crushed. But talk a little bit about that whole thing and how it got distorted.
Yeah, thanks for giving me a chance to clarify the situation. I was never on the MRSA resolution. I never had given my approval to be on the MRSA resolution. Somebody on his staff, and they were very apologetic, put me on the resolution. I went over and talked to Jack. Jay, he's a tremendous American, as you know, and he's very thoughtful. And I've looked to him for a lot of advice about military affairs. You know, I sit on the Armed Services Committee now because I want to have a voice at the table. I want to make sure that as a country we're not only tough, but we're smart, because in my opinion we've been tough, but we've been dumb about meeting this jihadist threat that we face. It's a true threat, but the invasion of Iraq has not served us particularly well very difficult challenge that we face. So when I left my meeting with Jack, somebody in his staff was under the mistaken impression I had given an affirmative answer when it came to whether I should get on his resolution or not. So I just went to the floor of the House and clarified that. His point of view is one that's very legitimate and I think important, and he changed the tenor of the debate. I had allied myself with another group of about 45 Democrats or so, who basically are calling on the president to do what the Senate asked him to do, which is to report periodically on what's happening with the situation in Iraq. And we laid down some principles that mirror those of Jack MRSA, with the one exception that there's not a hard and fast date for when we should withdraw from Iraq, but with an understanding that this year, now we're in 06, ought to be a significant time of transition, and that we are, in fact, in the process of removing such a significant presence that we now have in Iraq, and that the Iraqis are going to have to, in the long run, win this politically, that the military has done its job. We won the war, but we've bungled winning the peace, and that the civilian leadership, starting with the president, is responsible for those shortcomings.
All right, so you're against a definite timetable.
Yeah, at this point, and you know, it's not because I think this argument that the soundbite that the president has, which is, well, if we tell them when we're leaving, they'll just wait us out. It's that the folks on the ground, including the civilian leadership, need some flexibility over there to make sure that everything is in order as much as it can be. And you would have any chief executive would want to have that kind of flexibility. And I think it makes sense. But what we have to do is keep the pressure on the president and this administration to respond to the Congress and therefore the American people as to what they're doing and how they're going to do it. And that's been really lacking. And overall, I felt the only way we're going to make a six of this, and I think we have to continue to try, because if we fail, it affects all of us, as galling as that would be, and as I think as important as that would be to acknowledge. We have to, I think, do everything possible to make a success of this, but we can't do that if we don't have some flexibility. But we ought to be very clear that we're getting out of there as soon as we possibly can, particularly with any we're going to reduce the influence and the presence that we have, because that does in part, I think, add fuel to the insurgency. Senator Biden recently said, look, one of the things, the ways in which the president said to the American people, he suggests if we kill all the terrorists, which again, you know, terror is a tactic. It's not a movement. It's jihadists. It's Islamic fundamentalists that are using terror as a tactic to strike fear into the hearts of everybody. If we were to kill every one of those people, we still have an insurgency there because 90% of the acts of violence that are committed by Sunnis, by former Baathists, by people who fear that they're not going to have a role in the political process.
8:40, what's in front of 9 o'clock, Congressman Mark Udall on with us. One last question on this. There's a story today in the Mirror UK that says an exclusive billion-dollar bunker is going to be built by the Pentagon in Baghdad, and also that they're talking about building these super bases that would be highly secure, and that they are going to build these massive military super bases around the Iraqi capital. Have you heard about this story?
No, and that would deeply concern me if that's the plan of the Pentagon. That's certainly not what I've been informed when it comes to their plans. In fact, this letter that the 40 or so members that I mentioned, led by Congresswoman Tauscher, has been very thoughtful on this, sent to the president, made it very clear that we have no designs on the Iraqi oil, that we have no designs on permanent bases, that we want to turn Iraq back over to the Iraqis, that reconstruction dollars ought to be directed into the Iraqi business community and into Iraqi communities themselves. And this would break faith with what we believe ought to happen, and I think what the American people understand should happen, and as well the Iraqi people.
All right. Let's talk about the NSA spying situation and about a letter that you sent about that, and you weren't the only one to do it, and just your general take. You know what? Not only on the NSA spying story, but there was also the Pentagon story out there, too, that they were domestically spying, and, you know, they were spying on people like the Quakers.
I know.
I mean, what's up with that?
Yeah, what is up with that? It's time for hearings. It's time for the Congress to exert its constitutional authority to check the president. It's interesting that he's spending most of his time with the last three or four days over the holidays defending what they've been doing. And whenever somebody speaks that much, I think that they probably feel like they're obviously having to defend a policy that doesn't make sense and may well be in violation of the law. It's unfortunate, Jay, we seem to have to repeat this process throughout our history. You know, the Alien and Sedition Act as we entered the 1800s.
Right.
Lincoln suspended habeas corpus, the Palmer Raids of the early 1920s, then, of course, what we did with Japanese Americans. And then there are always people who defend these efforts, that we should give up our civil liberties in order to be secure. And, you know, Ben Franklin had it best when he said that a society that would give up essential liberties for short-term security deserves neither. And I think this is a cause that's righteous and one that ought to be followed, and stay tuned, because there are senators in both parties and there are members of the House in both parties that understand that this is a very serious situation, and that the president shouldn't have free rein, and that the case that they're making doesn't hold up when you look at the way the FISA court is designed to work, and they have flexibility in the short term if there's an immediate threat, but then they have to respond in ways that the law requires.
All right. Did the president break the law?
I don't know enough at this point, but certainly he's stretched it, and he's certainly, I think, trying the patience and the trust of the American people. And there's a way to do this kind of to develop this kind of intelligence, but one that doesn't chip away at our civil liberties and in the long run turn us into the same sort of potential government that we say we're trying to fight from taking root in other parts of the world. And that's the danger in this. And I think you don't have to look any farther than the Republicans in both houses who are saying that they're very concerned, along with the Democrats, to understand this isn't partisan. This is about American fundamental values and principles.
All right, last couple of questions here. The Abramoff scandal, your view on that, and also, does Tom DeLay ever get his leadership post back?
The Abramoff scandal, as you know, has been brewing for months and months. It's it extends very far and wide. It just points out that the role of money has increasingly begun to play in Washington, and it dismays me and saddens me because it smears a lot of good people, elected officials in Washington, it smears in the sense of we're all considered to be a part of this when it's a limited group of people, but it points out the overarching and powerful role that money is playing right now in our political system, and I hope and know that this investigation has more to uncover and it ought to be taken to the ends of the country to send a message, as we periodically seem to have to do, that our political system should not be subject to this kind of influence and corruption. And that, you know, the stories as much as I do, that this this could touch, what, a dozen or more members of Congress. And as a member, that tears at me, because the bulk of the members there are trying to do the best they can, and I may disagree with a lot of them and think they're really misguided, but most members aren't falling prey to this. But there are enough of influential members who are, that it actually has perverted the process, as I think we're about to find out. Tom DeLay, in my conversations with members of the Republican caucus, I think is running out of time, and they feel leaderless, and I think you'll see new leadership elections at the end of this month, barring some real change in the situation. They need to, some of their rank and file members have said to me, they need to purge their leadership of people who are part of the corruption culture in Washington and start anew. And if the leadership in that caucus will listen to their rank and file, I think they can get themselves back on their feet. But the longer they wait for DeLay to be exonerated, I think the more they're damaged, particularly as we go into this election year. That's one man's take.
Well, you know what? And so it's a good one, because I happen to agree with you. I think they're eventually going to have to do something, and probably after the State of the Union address is when they would do it, right?
Yeah, I agree. We're slated for a leadership election in our own caucus. Our chairman, Bob Menendez, was appointed senator. Or we'll take office soon, the new senator from New Jersey, because Senator Corzine was elected governor. So we're going to elect a new vice chair. But that's not, frankly, on the level of the Republicans' need for a new majority leader, and then to look at their other leadership positions. But I think the country would be better served by leadership in the Republican Party that wasn't under this cloud, because we have very significant challenges facing us that we really didn't meet in this last year. I know we came home to hear the Republican leadership in the House say that they met all the needs of the country, but gas prices haven't gone down significantly. We still have large deficits. People don't have health care coverage that's affordable, and we're still bogged down in Iraq. That doesn't seem to me to be a list of great accomplishments.
All right, plug your website as always.
Hey, it's now you caught me again.
You want me to give it? I'll give it.
You got it right there. It's Mark Udall at Quest.net.
Okay, or that's your campaign
that's
website.
That's the campaign website, yeah.
And it's also markudall.house.gov.
.gov, you got it.
All right. Thank you, Congressman, as always. It's just a pleasure to have you on, and I know you'll come back on again.
Oh, hey, anytime you'll have me, and thanks for the chance to talk about Jack Murtha and his leadership and role and the courageous thing he did, and how our points of view are similar, but I'm taking a slightly different tack here as we... I think hopefully you'll see a real transition this year in Iraq.
Well, you're always welcome here. Thank you, Congressman.
Okay, take care.
All right, you got it. All right, there's Congressman Mark Udall. It's 8:48, 12 minutes in front of 9 o'clock here on AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk. More about the Abramoff scandal with my buddy John Nichols from The Nation magazine coming up after 9 o'clock.
AM 760, Progressive Traffic.
Sutter into the drive, things wrapping up nicely. We're still seeing some slow and heavy traffic southbound I-25 from Alameda down through Hampton. But it looks like they're already starting to loosen up there. That northbound drive through T-Rex, not bad at all. Southbound 225 jammed up a little bit from US 70, making down towards the Denver Tech Center merge. Everywhere else are back to normal, even eastbound C-470, which has been a struggle all morning long. That rollover accident near Quebec has long since cleared off, and the backups there have improved. High Country Drive, really not too bad. Few wet, slushy, and icy spots starting from the Eisenhower to heading west. Taking a look at your weather today, sunny skies, but windy. It's up around 48. Mostly sunny and breezy tomorrow. We'll top out at 50. Right now it's 45. I'm Aaron O'Neill on AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk.
The holidays may be over, but at Quality Mitsubishi, they're still giving gifts. Right now, get up to $10,000 cash back on every new vehicle.
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. They want to learn about their world, so follow their lead. Take everyday moments like sorting laundry, shopping, waiting for the bus, and turn them into learning moments. For more information, visit bornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Franken, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Net Show, 1 to 4.
Randy Rhodes, 48, the best.
Because then again, everything right is on the left.
Oh, I listen to Jay a lot. I love Ed.
Al's great.
Randy Rhodes.
Oh, absolutely.
I love it.
You're doing a great job.
AM 760.
Boulder's Progressive Talk.
If you're sick and tired of watching your eyes get weaker and weaker every year, repeat after me. I will take a stand against my weak eyesight.
I won't use my glasses as a crutch.
And I will no longer accept stronger prescriptions year after year.
Call right now for free video to find out how you can strengthen your eyesight using the safe, natural solution. It's called the See Clearly Method. Call 1-800-508-7100. That's 1-800-508-7100. 1-800-508-7100.
Men, this message is brought to you by the Essential Group. Are you waking at all hours? It can be frustrating, especially if it happens frequently. This can be a sign of a condition called BPH, or enlarged prostate. If you're experiencing the symptom, you're not alone. Many men experience this bothersome issue. BPH is a real medical diagnosis that can typically be treated. Currently, physicians are conducting a BPH research study specifically for men over 50, and you may qualify. Just call toll-free 1-866-77-STUDY for more information. Qualified participants will receive all study-related care, including doctor visits, laboratory services, and investigational study medication. If you're experiencing the bothersome symptoms of BPH or enlarged prostate, call the Essential Group at 1-866-77-STUDY. That's 866-77-STUDY. Once again, the number is toll-free, 1-866-77-STUDY. The first step is your call.
From Steven Spielberg, the acclaimed director of Schindler's List and Saving Private Ryan, comes the film Time Magazine calls his boldest feat yet a masterpiece, Munich.
I'm speaking to you live just outside the Olympic Village in Munich, West Germany.
The world was watching in 1972 as 11 Israeli athletes were murdered at the Munich Olympics.
They're all gone.
This is the story of what happened next.
We want to ask you, will you undertake a mission?
We have 11 Palestinian names. Each other has been Munich. We want them dead.
The National Board of Review, Newsweek, Rolling Stone, People Magazine, and the Los Angeles Times have all named Munich one of the 10 best films of the year. Now Munich has been nominated for Golden Globe Awards for Best Screenplay and Best Director Steven Spielberg.
Every civilization finds it necessary to negotiate compromises with its own values.
Munich, rated R, under 17, admitted without parent, now playing in additional theaters Friday.
Mark Major with Ann Goodyear. Listen, you've been listening to our show on Saturdays. On top of that, I want to thank you for coming to the stores and doing business with us. We've got five stores in the Denver metro area, Castle Rock, Littleton, Lakewood, you name it, we got it. We are the most aggressive tire salespeople out there. We will match any prices. We're also a full service facility. And don't forget, my dad started this business over 15 years ago, so you know we're not going anywhere. We beat all prices, we match all prices, and on top of that, we do have the best customer service. Ever since I've joined up with Tom Martino on the Troubleshooter Network, I got to tell you, folks, we are going after the bad shops out there. A lot of people don't think that's right, but I'll tell you what, I want to turn around this industry. I want to make your automotive needs easy and very affordable, and on top of that, folks, just plain right. 303-71-9800 for the location closest to you. 303-771-9800. Mark Major with Aspen Goodyear.
Live, local, and left. Jay Marvin on AM 760. Boulder's Progressive Talk.
Hey, good morning, Jay. 53. On AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk. High today, 50. Low 22. Partly sunny skies. Let's hope there's no more wind. All right, we've got time to squeeze in one more call here before, or squeeze in that call before we get to the news at the top of the hour, and then John Nichols from The Nation about the Abramoff scandal and various other things that we can pick his brain about. Let me go to Tim in Boulder. Tim, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Hi, Jay.
Hey, Tim.
Just a couple comments. First, any listener that wants to learn a little more about Abramoff, I would like them to look at Paul Franken's latest book. I read it a couple months ago, and he kind of, I think he did a great job of bringing that out real early. Gives a lot of backup on email backup and sources. He did a good, you know, I'm always amazed at how little news I get from the news and get if I look elsewhere.
Well, I agree with you. I agree with you 100% on that.
On that same note, I watched CNN on from about 9:30 to 11:30 last night, and I think true, but they didn't show any other story except the 12 minors that lived. And they interviewed every child, every school kid, every preacher, and they had it wrong. They didn't do any investigative research. It's just typical if they don't tell you that 30 people died in Iraq, but they'll interview every baby in a little town trying to. It's shameless. It's just shameless.
Well, the mine tragedy with the 12 miners dying and the fact that they told their families that they were alive and they waited all that, you know, all that time, and then they told them they were dead. You know, that's tragedy. It's terrible. It's heart-wrenching, and it should get. But I'm like you. When I was watching the Situation Room with Wolf Blitzer on CNN yesterday, you know, I wanted to hear more about the Abramoff scandal, and I wanted to hear more about what was going on in Iraq and what was happening in the rest of the world. And, man, they were just 150% focused on this mine situation. Now, I don't know if that's too much coverage, if that's not enough coverage, or if the coverage on that was just right.
And look, it's just way too much. I mean, 12 people is a lot of people, but there's a lot of 12 people dying everywhere. And, you know, the stuff that's going on in the Congress is killing people. And, you know, you got to have some balance. And the interesting thing about this mine thing is it shows that the news journalists have stopped doing the news. Nobody was investigating if that story was true. Where did that story come from? You know, people have stopped doing journalism.
Yeah, you know, for the most part, I think you're absolutely right. They try to.
Okay, I think I'm losing you, but thanks a lot.
All right, take care, Tim. Appreciate it. There's Tim and Boulder. You know, they do it on the cheap. I mean, we discussed this yesterday, and several callers brought this up, and I got several emails about this, about how newsrooms now are looked at as being profit-making institutions, that they are not looked as, you know, as the kind of institutions that do quality journalism, that act in the public interest, that they're basically looking to make money off of this, and they're basically looking to do it on the cheap. I remember when radio stations, I mean, I've been in this business 31 years, so no wonder I'm crazy, but I remember when radio stations, every station had a news department. Every radio station had news, had local news. Then I remember when things began to change and news departments were phased out. And that's a shame. That's a shame. And you know what? I'm intellectually honest enough to tell you that that includes this radio station. Sometimes I wish we had local news on here, even though I think CBS, you know, does a pretty good job. All right, John Nichols from The Nation magazine is coming up next. We'll pick his brain about Abramoff and anything else we can shove into the time allotted. He's a good guy and a great columnist and a great writer, and we'll have him coming up next. Then we'll go to open phones, and we'll talk about anything that you want to talk about here on AM 760 Progressive Talk. J. Marvin, just really glad you decided to hang out with us this morning. Thank you for being here.
The GOP calls him an SOB. It's James.
If you love your coffee and want to take it with you when you travel, you need to learn about Road Warrior brand laptop coffee. Laptop coffee is travel-friendly coffee, sealed in personal tins. Plus, it's superior gourmet compared to the coffee made for you in the room. Each tin contains 2 4-cup filter packs for 2 personal pots of rich, full-bodied, 100% Arabica coffee. You'll never have to endure lousy in-room hotel coffee again. For a free sample, click the ad on your screen or log on to laptopcoffee.com. And order the free sample pack.
They make food at 10 Star with passion. Like the habit-forming blue cheese bacon burger taco. A cooked-to-order burger topped with bacon, crumble blue cheese, chipotle sauce, lettuce, and hand-battered fried onion strings, all placed into flour tortillas. 10 Star's menu certainly has a Southwestern orientation, but incorporates flavors from Texas and beyond. Drop by 10 Star in the Tech Center and join them for lunch, dinner, or for a cold beer or margarita and some spicy queso. Click on the banner in the player for directions. 10 Star. Sizzle, smoke, salsa.
The Men's Warehouse Winter Sale, with savings of up to 50% on select styles, corporate to casual. The only way to beat a Men's Warehouse price is at the Men's Warehouse Winter Sale. I guarantee it. I'm George Zimmer, founder and CEO of Men's Warehouse. The Winter Sale ends soon. 12 Denver area stores. To reach the Men's Warehouse nearest you, call 1-800-776-SUIT. J. Marvin, Al Franken, Ed Schultz, Andy Rose, The Majority Report, and Malloy. This is AM 760, Progressive Talk. KKZN, Morton, Denver, Boulder.
CBS News, I'm Christopher Glenn.
why what the families of the trapped West Virginia miners want to know after being misinformed that their loved ones were alive, only to learn the truth 3 hours later that there was only one survivor among the 13 who were trapped. Mine CEO Ben Hatfield says it happened because people at the command center overheard speculative conversation with rescue teams inside the mine and repeated the information that turned out to be false on their cell phones.
We simply couldn't confirm that at that point, but that information spread like wildfire because it had come from the command center, but it was a bad information.
The shock among those who had celebrated the erroneous report that the miners were alive was stunningly intense. State Senator Randy White.
There was complete and utter shock and disbelief and anger and all different kinds of emotions.
The lone survivor of the tragedy is Randall McCloy, being treated by Dr. Larry Roberts at West Virginia University's Ruby Memorial Hospital.
He's still critically ill. He's in our intensive care unit. He suffered some collapse of one of his lungs, which we are attempting right now to reopen, and there is good progress in that regard.
McCoy, age 27, was the youngest of the miners who were trapped, and Dr. Roberts adds, youth always has its advantages. The day after cutting a plea deal on federal charges, Jack Abramoff has another court date in Florida. In Washington, everyone who ever had any link to the super lobbyist is running away as fast as they can, and the Bush White House is no exception, as we hear from CBS News correspondent Mark Noller.
The White House wants to be seen distancing itself from Jack Abramoff, so his political contributions are being given to charity. What's left of the Bush-Cheney campaign is giving the American Heart Association $6,000, representing political donations received from Abramoff, his wife, and the Saginaw Chippewa Indian Tribe, one of Abramoff's clients. A spokesman says President Bush doesn't remember meeting Abramoff, but he was a guest at 3 White House receptions over the years. Mark Noller, CBS News. The White House.
The aftermath, a car bombing in Iraq, just one in a series of attacks around the country today that left at least 53 people dead. CBS News reporter Pete Gow in Baghdad tells us,
today has been one of the bloodiest and deadliest in Iraq since the relative calm of December's elections. A suicide bomber detonating himself in a crowd of mourners at a funeral, a fuel convoy ambush, and car bombing in the capital, all evidence of the campaign of violence we anticipated ahead of the controversial formation of Iraq's new government.
Checking the late numbers from Wall Street now, Dow Industrials ahead more than 11 points. The NASDAQ composite is up more than 14. This is CBS News.
Hey, this is Tanya Roberts, and I want to know where you're going on your next romantic weekend getaway. Well, how about 3 days and 2 nights in Las Vegas at a major strip resort? And what about you don't pay a dime for it? That's right. Act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of the celebration of Las Vegas's 5-star resort, Soleil. Soleil wants you to get out of Dodge, stir up a little romantic magic, showcase the strip resort in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon. All on Soleil Resorts. Las Vegas is calling. Come on, get down to Vegas for the time of your life. So stop what you're doing and call the special toll-free number. Just call 877-31-VEGAS. Oh, and as an added bonus, if you call within the next 15 minutes, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Call 877-31-VEGAS. That's 877-31-VEGAS.
Rocky Mountain Cyberknife. Visit RockyMountainCyberKnifeCK.com.
AM 760. Progressive traffic.
Well, we did catch an early end of the drive and just a little heavy. South Bend I-25 getting down through T-Rex. You'll find traffic a little slower in between Broadway and Hampton, but things are steadily improving there. Southbound 225 is back to normal, and so is the rest of the drive around the Denver metro area and the Boulder area. No problems. If you are headed up in the high country, they've reopened Loveland Pass, but change required on those semis. You can use US 6. Mainly just icy and slushy spots between the Eisenhower Tunnel and Fail. Take a look at our weather today. Mostly sunny, breeze.
A deadly infectious disease called meningococcal meningitis killed my daughter. Parents in Denver need to know it may be prevented through vaccination. My child did not have to die. Ask your doctor about immunization.
A message from the National Meningitis Association.
Looking for the best present you can buy? Then go to MileHighMarket.com and check out the iJoy robotic massage chair with 3D human touch technology that feels like strong hands kneading your neck, back, legs, and feet. This gift and many more available at MileHighMarket.com.
Lisa, it's Janet.
What's wrong?
It's the bridesmaids' dresses for Lindsay's wedding.
Oh, no. Tell me they're not fuchsia.
They're not fuchsia.
They're chiffon? I specifically said no chiffon.
They're not chiffon.
Then what?
They're made out of old yellow pages.
Excuse me?
Uh-huh. Something about recycling a good karma on her wedding day.
Great. I'm not going to know whether a guy's checking me out or just looking for the number of a good mechanic.
Very funny.
There's a better way to recycle your old phone books. Call 1-800-422-8793 or log on to DexOnline.com to find out how.
Good morning, 9:05, 5 minutes after 9. High today, 50. Partly sunny skies, AM 760, Progressive Talk. J. Marvin along with... All right, let's go to the man. He's a Washington correspondent for The Nation magazine. He's been on this program before. We try to snare him every chance we get because nobody has insight like this guy. Am I sucking up enough? Let's go to John Nichols. John, good morning.
You sufficiently sucked up, Jay.
Thank you very much. And it's good to have you on the program, even though you never answer my emails.
I try to do it, man. These are crazy times. We're trying to run a president out of office.
Yeah, I agree 100%. All right, now, I was originally going to have you on here to talk about the top 25 progressives. But if you don't mind, because I want to pick your brain about this, let's shift a little bit here for a second and talk about the Abramoff scandal. Give me your take on this.
Well, I think the Abramoff scandal is a huge deal. This guy, in a three-year period from 2001 to 2003, spread around $1.7 million in campaign contributions. $1.7 million. Now, to put that in perspective, remember that back in, like Franklin Roosevelt, when he was running for president, they were spending like $1 million to run for president. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This guy is putting huge amounts of money into the political process, spreading it around to lots of folks. Now, the overwhelming majority of folks who got it were Republicans. That's no surprise. He's the former president of the College Republicans. He came up politically as a friend of Ralph Reed and Grover Norquist and all the key GOP guys in D.C. and around the country. So we know this guy, two things. One, moved a lot of money around. Two, very close to the Republican Party. Now, he and his chief ally, Michael Scanlon, chief partner in crime, have both agreed to cooperate with the Justice Department investigation. If they really do take this thing to the logical conclusion, i.e., get Abramoff to talk about who he gave money to, why, and what he got in return for it. And this is pretty easily documented if we have an honest discussion here. We could seriously talk about taking out as many as 36 Republican members of Congress. And these are not just low-level folks. Tom DeLay is he's up to his nose in this thing. In fact, his former aide, Michael Scanlon, is, again, the guy I mentioned is Abramoff's partner in crime. But also, Dennis Hastert, the Speaker of the House, took more than $100,000 from these guys and clearly performed favors on their behalf. Blunt, the majority leader who replaced DeLay, took tens of thousands of dollars, clearly performed favors for them. Conrad Burns, the senator from Montana. The list goes on and on. So what we've got here is a scandal that, if it is seen to its logical conclusion, could be the biggest scandal in the history of our Congress.
You know, if Dennis Hastert, I said this earlier this morning, if he gets taken out, that would just be enough for me. I mean, the guy is a political thug.
Yeah, I mean, he's a hack. He's a high school wrestling coach with no evidence whatsoever of any political insight, skill, or knowledge, whose only ability that has ever been evidenced is his willingness to do whatever Tom DeLay told him to do. And, yeah, taking Hastert down would be a good thing. But really what's significant here, and what people need to wrap their head around, that what we've got is a guy facing huge life-in-prison-type criminal charges, like it is Abramoff, who happens to have been at the very heart of the Republican fundraising, political favors, pay-to-play politics of the last 4 or 5 years. If the Justice Department sits on him and makes him talk in the way that they should be able to do, then he has the ability to take out a huge swath of the Republican leadership and a lot of the rank-and-file Republicans in Congress. Now, here's the thing to understand, and this is the really kind of painful part of it. He also ought to be able to take out a couple of Democrats.
Do you have any names? Do you know of anybody
sure.
that's being mentioned?
Well, the truth is Harry Reid took $66,000 from folks associated with Abramoff. Tom Harkin from Iowa also was clearly working with some of the tribes associated with Abramoff. These, I have to emphasize, all evidence now on Reid, Harkin, Byron Dorgan from North Dakota suggests that their relationship was much less criminal, much less troubling than the relationship of many of the Republicans. But I think that the Democrats, progressives, have to be honest up front and recognize that if this is to be the cleansing scandal, you know, the one that really shakes things up and gets a lot of people knocked out, that it won't be 100% Republicans, that there will be some Democrats that go as well. And you have to be comfortable with that. This is something we ought to root back to Newt Gingrich's wisdom back in the early 1990s. Newt Gingrich was trying to suggest that decades of Democratic rule of the House of Representatives had made it corrupt. And when you had the House bank scandal, when you had the House post office scandal, the check cashing things of the early 1990s, most of the people that were in trouble were Democrats, but a few were Republicans. Gingrich said, screw them. If a Republican is in trouble, they go down too. That actually gave Gingrich a lot of the action to do the contract with America, which was, by the way, not a conservative ideological document. By and large, it was a reform and clean up Congress document. And so Democrats need to have that wisdom this time. They need to recognize that it is possible a couple Democrats will get in trouble with this, and not to worry about it, not to pull their punches. They pulled their punches on Enron because they were afraid that a few Democrats were going to get in trouble. As a result, they allowed the Enron scandal to go away and to not have political impact. If they allow the Abramoff scandal to go away and not have political impact, it will be the greatest lost opportunity to clean up this Congress in our lifetime.
9:12, 12 minutes after 9 here on AM 760. John Nichols, Washington correspondent for The Nation. But, you know, I had a caller call me up earlier this morning and, you know, accused me of cheerleading for the Democrats and the fact that Republicans were involved. But this is, by and large, a Republican scandal because...
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, Abramoff and Scanlon and the rest of these people are so connected and so wired into the Republican Party.
Well, it's more than that, Jay. I mean, understand the basic reality. Republicans control the entire apparatus of government. Bribing Democrats doesn't get you very far, right?
Yeah.
If you're going to go bribe people, you're going to bribe the people that are in charge. And so that's clearly what Abramoff did. And when we use the word bribery here, it's very important to make the distinction. The Abramoff scandal is not merely about campaign contributions, which I think, as Russ Feingold says, generally are legalized bribes. It is also about outright bribes, giving people trips to Scotland, you know, taking them golfing at St. Andrews, giving them free meals, giving them all sorts of favors. And so we have evidence here of old-fashioned political corruption of the most fundamental sort. And overwhelmingly, the people who were enjoying that political corruption, who were taking advantage of it, were Republicans. Abramoff's money moved at a 2-to-1 ratio to Republicans over Democrats, and the bribes, the actual favors, was at something like a 6 or 7-to-1 ratio of Republicans over Democrats. So this is a Republican scandal. But those of us who want to clean up Congress and who want to get all the corruption out of it ought to recognize that if the name of a Democrat comes up in this, we shouldn't get bothered by that. We should accept the reality that this Congress needs to be cleaned. This Congress needs to be cleaned out. And the fact of the matter is the corruption in it at this point is overwhelmingly Republican corruption. And if we allow this scandal, if we push this scandal to its natural conclusion, we ought to see a substantial number of Republicans go down. And let me tell you, the first name, the first guy who's finished, and this is reality, Tom DeLay is finished politically. He's done. He is over. It's not just that he isn't going to come back as majority leader. It now appears, by all evidence, that he's not going to be able to retain his seat. There was a fascinating thing that way flew under radar Monday, which is they had the filing deadline for Texas congressional seats. Nick Lamson, a former Democratic congressman, has filed against DeLay. That is a competitive district. But also, Steve Stockman, a former Republican congressman, filed as an independent in the district. I think DeLay, with the indictments in Texas and now his close connection to the Abramoff scandal, facing a conservative Republican and a moderate Democrat, I still think he's going to make it through. I think we're going to see the end of Tom DeLay's political career this year, and the Abramoff scandal is really going to be at the heart of it.
9:15, 50 minutes after 9 here at AM 760. John Nichols, Washington, correspondent for The Nation. All right, last closing minutes. I want to pick your brain about something else. The NSA scandal.
Yeah, what a good scandal. I mean, I got to tell you, this is one thing that people need to recognize. Americans don't like being spied on. This is a very big deal, and one that nobody should lose sight of. I give you a very good anecdotal evidence on it. I dropped my kid off at her daycare center, and the woman who is her daycare provider, who's not a big political person at all, who basically is just into taking care of kids, she said to me, "Wow, you know, Bush really let the government spy on people, listen to their phone calls and things like that." I said, "Yeah, he did." And she said, "He should be impeached for that." And that was her natural reaction. And I think that nothing is going to harm President Bush more than this decision. And the question now, the big deal in the next couple weeks, is how much Congress holds him accountable. Arlen Specter has said that he wants to hold hearings on this. If Specter holds hearings, and if they are well done, I think that George W. Bush is going to have an incredibly awful spring, because there's going to be this ongoing dialogue about whether we should, you know, whether our government should secretly spy on folks.
Do you think,
and also, what he lied about it.
Do you think Specter will do a good job? Do you think they're, because we're talking about a Congress or a Senate that's in Republican control.
I know the question of legacy here. And, you know, one of the things to understand is that when a Congress is under partisan control, the party that is associated with the president, there comes a point sometimes where people decide, look, this president's going to leave. I don't want to be stuck with the worst of his legacy. We saw William Fulbright do that in 1967 with Lyndon Johnson. This is a real test for Specter. And frankly, I think if we were going to put, as citizens, we're going to put pressure on anybody in Congress in the next couple of weeks, it ought to be Arlen Specter, to do good hearings, to do honest hearings. He is capable of it. Remember, Arlen Specter was the attorney for the Warren Commission.
Right.
He is a former federal, state, and local prosecutor. I mean, he really knows how to do this, and he's not a right-wing ideologue. There's no reason he shouldn't do it right, except just partisan politics. This is the place where we ought to ramp up the message that now, finally, it is time for Congress to hold this guy accountable. And I'll tell you something. If those hearings are held, and if they get a lot of publicity, George W. Bush is going to, I mean, I don't say this casually. I think we're a long way from it. But I think the discussion about impeachment will move from a sort of esoteric, theoretical thing to something that a number of members of Congress and a lot of American citizens take seriously.
Take this last question here. Do you think this will bleed over into the Alito hearings? Because Alito allegedly wrote a number of position papers, I guess would you call it that, or advocacy papers, saying that the executive branch should expand, and he supports the idea that they should expand, that the executive branch should expand its powers.
Exactly. I mean, look, this is a failure in the Roberts hearings, and it cannot be a failure in the Alito hearings. Roberts proved during his hearings to be an absolute advocate for a way extended, way beyond the Constitution power of the presidency. One of the things that progressives need to think about is that when we have these hearings on approving new members of the U.S. Supreme Court, we can't simply focus on abortion and a handful of other hot-button issues. We have to look at the whole Constitution, and there is no greater violation of the Constitution than to put someone on the court who is in the pocket of the executive branch. I think if Alito is questioned on these specific issues and with that specific intent of raising the question of whether he would ever challenge the power of the executive branch, he is vulnerable as a nominee. I fear, however, that the Alito hearings are going to get lost in the midst of the discussion about the NSA and the war. It is very important for those senators who have broader insight and are on the committee, people like Patrick Leahy and Russ Feingold from Wisconsin, to make those connections and to not let go of those connections. If they make them and if they aggressively push them, there is a chance that Alito could become vulnerable.
Well, that's good news. All right, John Nichols, as always. Man, thank you.
It is a pleasure to be on with you. You are my favorite morning talk show host.
You got it, pal. We'll talk to you again soon.
Okay, man. Bye-bye.
All right. There's John Nichols from The Nation magazine. He's the Washington correspondent. Check out his writing at thenation.com. All right, open phones coming up here, 303-713-7600. You want to talk Abramoff? You want to talk NSA? You want to talk immigration? You want to talk about the thing we've covered this morning, the mining disaster, the media, or anything else that may be on your mind? I got three open lines, and I'd love to get into a good conversation with you. 920, 20 minutes after 9, AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk.
AM 760, Progressive Traffic.
We were starting to see an improvement on that drive southbound I-25 through the T-Rex construction zone, although a new problem just popping up. It's going to be a stall, and it's blocking the left lane of traffic southbound I-25 under the University Bridge. Denver Police is on scene. Hopefully they can push that out of the way of traffic, get it over to the shoulder, but southbound I-25 is going to start to back up once again through the bridges, making that drive between downtown and the tech center. Have a couple extra minutes on hand. That's about it. Cross town, everything else is loosened up. Speed's looking good for the rest of the Denver Metro highways. Take a look at your forecast for today. Sunny skies. It is going to be windy in a lot of areas. Highs only reaching 48. And we'll see more of the same for tomorrow with windy conditions. A topping out at 50. Right now it's 43. I'm Aaron O'Neill on AM 760 Boulder's Progressive Talk.
The holidays may be over, but at Quality Mitsubishi, they're still giving gifts. Right now, get up to $10,000 cash back on every new vehicle in stock, even the all-new Raider and hot new Eclipse. Don't miss this year's best deals, only at Quality Mitsubishi on South Broadway.
Want to be an eBay entrepreneur? Then get your free CD that's showing people how to make a fortune with online auctions like eBay. It's so easy. This software is actually illegal in some states, but not yours. So pick up the phone and get your free CD from Internet Speedway now. Make a fortune with this system while it's still legal in your state. 1-800-700-5903. 1-800-700-5903. 1-800-700-5903.
Good morning, 922, 22 minutes after 9. Jim here on AM 760 Boulder's Progressive Talk. Hey, if you're unhappy with your current job and you thought about making a switch, have you thought about going to work for one of the best places around? Rocky's Autos. You know what? They got a free automotive training seminar coming up, and you have your seat today at 303-426-4646. Now, Rocky's is Colorado's number one volume dealer, and they'll train you. Rocky's is holding their second annual introductory autos training seminar. They want to show you how you can be an important part of a growing team and have the best inventory that has the best inventory in Colorado and the best location in Colorado and gives you plenty of support. Come see how their top sales producers earn between $7,000 and $10,000 per month, and space is limited, so plan on spending 3 hours to see what Rockies is all about to find out for yourself. It's going to become on Monday, January the 9th. Registration and snacks between 5 and 6 p.m., and then the seminar between 6 and 9. It's going to be held at the Denver Marriott West, 1717 Denver West and Marriott Boulevard. That's in Golden, Colorado, by the way. Call now to reserve your seats. Cassini is limited. 303-426-4646. That's 303-426-4646. Ask for Colby or my man Dave out there. $2,000 minimum training guarantee. Rockies Autos. Good people to know, good people to work for, and good people to buy from. Rockies Autos, 63rd and Federal.
The Company Corporation does not offer financial or legal advice.
Running a small business is like raising a child. You nurture it, giving up your time and energy just to make sure it grows and stays healthy. But if you haven't yet, it could all disappear in an instant. Your car, your life savings, even your home. Fortunately, incorporating your business is fast and easy. Request a free guide today. Call 1-800-500-2883. 1-800-500-2883. 1-800-500-2883.
Do you really know your past, the history behind your family, and who you are? In less than 5 minutes, we can help you start to find out. At Ancestry, we help millions of people just like you connect with their family roots, from the recent past to 10 generations or more. We're so sure that we can find your family history. We'll send you a free report with fascinating facts on your family name at no cost to you. Call 1-800-300-3414. That's 1-800-300-3414. 1-800-300-3414.
Now it's getting serious. Jay Marvin is on AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk.
Good morning, 925, 25 minutes after 9. High today of around 50. Marvin, working your woofers and tweeters here. on AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk. Two lines open at 303-713-7600. Two lines, 303-713-7600. Open phones. We can talk anything you want to talk about. And, you know, John Nichols brings up the impeachment of George W. Bush. The I word, I've stayed away from it and haven't really said much about it. And I'd be interested to see what you think about it. I'd love to see him get impeached. You know what? I would love to see a Democratic-controlled House of Representatives, or even a Democratic-controlled Senate, or would be even better, a Democratic-controlled both houses, and I'd love to see them go after this guy, George W. Bush, and investigate him to the hilt. So I'd love to see him impeached. I'd love to see the I word floating around out there. And, you know, maybe we should be talking more about the I word. This sad news note, it has been disclosed that the Stardust Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas will be torn down. Former home of Wayne Newton used to perform there. And somebody else told me that the Tropicana is going to get trashed. It's going to be torn down as well. Las Vegas, one of my favorite places other than the Front Range. Let's go to George on Capitol Hill. George, you're on X760. Good morning.
Good morning, Jay, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too, George.
Thank you. Did you happen to read page 6A of this morning's Rocky Mountain News where it says prison space to run out this year?
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, I sat next to Ann MC at the Joint Budget Committee meeting yesterday and saw her scribbling away. She did a good job. Perhaps you can answer a question for me, Jay.
Mm-hmm, I'll try.
With all the financial problems in Colorado and prison space to about run out, why are my fellow Republicans, Bob Beaupre, who's running for governor, and John Southers, who's running for attorney general, why are they coming out so strongly against decriminalizing marijuana?
Because they think that it plays successfully to their base, and I think that it's an unreasonable position. Rhode Island just voted yesterday, overrode the governor there, to legalize medical use of marijuana. I think the time has come where we need to take a serious look at the use of marijuana and also what it's doing to our prison spaces and you know, people being jailed basically for no good reason.
I agree. And, you know, U.S. District Court Judge John Cain basically says that the drug laws are corrupting law enforcement and we ought to legalize just about everything. So I'm simply saying my interest is in higher education. And I have anecdotal reports that students, you know, have drug busts on their record. They can't get federal loans, and the university looks at them askance as students. I'm just simply saying we ought to get rid of some of these nuisance laws that are corrupting law enforcement, keeping our students out of higher education and wasting money, don't you think?
Well, yeah, but I think the legalization of everything is a pretty provocative position. Yeah. I mean, it bothers me that we would, like, legalize cocaine, that we legalize heroin, that we would, legalize methamphetamines. I mean, that kind of stuff, bothers me. I can't see any direct damage from the use of marijuana other than the urban myths that we've been taught all of our lives.
John, I'm a retired mental health worker, and I agree with you to a large degree. But, you know, John Cain is a well-respected U.S. District Court judge, and he's spoken out. He's spoken to the legislature, to the Denver Club, and he'd probably come on your radio program. He has some strong reasons to basically legalize and decriminalize a lot more than marijuana.
Well, I just have a hard time. Like decriminalizing LSD?
Well, I'm just simply saying.
What would that be like? I mean, if we decriminalize LSD, or you know what, methamphetamines. People who are speed freaks and people who take methamphetamines are some of the most disgusting individuals on the face of this planet. And why would you decriminalize a drug that would do that much damage?
John, to a large degree, I agree with you, but I'm trying to say a well-respected U.S. district court.
Well, you know
what? Judge.
I mean, I don't care. You know,
I agree.
Well-respected or not, he's a guy who's informed, has an opinion, and opinions are like, you know what? Opinions are like I can't say the word. Everybody's got one.
You know, John, Jay, you're right in criticizing me for respecting authority too much, but you know, I'm a Republican left of center, and I've gotten clobbered. I was one of the ones when I was running for governor in 94 saying that Texas, Tom DeLay is bad news. Let's not get too close to it.
What does that tell you? Get out of the Republican Party, man. Join us.
There's a lot of them doing it. You know, if you read the paper today, Norma Anderson has quit. Ben Nighthurst Campbell's pretty well said a plague on you conservatives. Representative Larson, who's a decent moderate Republican, has had about enough. Representative Decker from Colorado Springs is being primaried. I'm saying there are a whole lot of Republicans
You ought to get out and join us. Thanks, George. Appreciate the call. Have a good day. Two lines open at 303-713-7600. Open phones underway here, 930 at AM 760. Progressive Talk. I'm looking at progressive traffic.
And we're looking at a pretty decent drive around town. Had a stall late here in the drive, southbound I-25 at University. It was hanging up that left lane, and it's been pushed out of the way, so all lanes reopen. Traffic is going to be a little heavy coming down through the bridges along southbound I-25, working away towards the tech center. But southbound 225, a little backed up from DTC down towards the I-25 merge. But really, those are your only slowdowns if you just headed out. Everywhere else, we're in pretty fine shape. Weather today, sunny, a little bit breezy, up to 48 for a high. We'll see sunny skies, breezy conditions tomorrow, topping out at 50. Right now it's 43. I'm Aaron O'Neill on AM 76. There's Progressive Talk.
Turn your computer into a radio. Listen live to AM 760 24 hours a day on AM760.net. Download podcasts from CBS News and AM 760. Boulder's Progressive Talk.
Company Corporation does not offer financial or legal advice.
Running a small business is like raising a child. You nurture it, giving up your time and energy just to make sure it grows and stays healthy. But if you haven't incorporated yet, it could all disappear in an instant. Your car, your life savings, even your home. Fortunately, incorporating your business is fast and easy. Request a free guide today. Call 1-800-500-2883. 1-800-500-2883. 1-800-500-2883.
Mark Major with Aspen Goodyear. Listen, you've been listening to our show on Saturdays. On top of that, I want to thank you for coming down to the stores and doing business with us. We've got five stores in the Denver metro area, Castle Rock, Littleton, Lakewood. You name it, we got it. We are the most aggressive tire salespeople out there. We will match any prices. We're also a full service facility. And don't forget, my dad started this business over 15 years ago, so you know we're not going anywhere. We beat all prices. We match all prices, and on top of that, we do have the best customer service. Ever since I've joined up with Tom Martino on the Troubleshooter Network, I got to tell you, folks, we are going after the bad shops out there. A lot of people don't think that's right, but I'll tell you what, I want to turn around this industry. I want to make your automotive needs easy and very affordable, and on top of that, folks, just plain right. 303-771-9800 for the location closest to you. 303-771-9800. I'm Mark Major with Aspen Goodyear.
In 1997, Genia Lamonides was diagnosed with a tumor on a nerve in her head.
I needed surgery right away. They got the tumor, but I lost my hearing and my face became paralyzed.
Then in 2004, Genia's doctors found another tumor on that same nerve.
I did not want to do surgery again.
That's when she learned that Rocky Mountain CyberKnife is revolutionizing the treatment of tumors. CyberKnife destroys tumors with a precise beam of radiation, yet it spares surrounding tissue by tracking and adjusting to the tumor's true position with 1 millimeter accuracy. Treatments are short, effective, and easy on patients.
CyberKnife didn't make me sick. It wasn't painful, and I never missed any work. I just wish it had been an option for the first tumor.
At Rocky Mount CyberKnife, we're revolutionizing treatment, restoring hope, and improving lives. If you or someone you love has a tumor, call today at 303-448-4620.
Stick in it to right everywhere. J. Marvin, AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk.
Jimmy Hendrix, I hear. Get it on. 9:34, 27 minutes in front of 10 o'clock. AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk. Actually, it's 26 minutes. Open phones here. High today, 50. Partly sunny. Open phones here. We want to talk about 303-713-7600. Anybody out there like the idea of decriminalizing harder drugs? Or am I only alone in this that it scares me? All right, let's go to the phones here. And we go to Evan in Longmont. Evan, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Jay. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, Evan. How about you?
I'm doing well. I'm saying I called the other day asking about the libertarian Jack Abramoff thing,
right,
and if you'd heard anything about that.
You know, I don't know how the Libertarian Party stands on that. I have no idea. I don't know how those Libertarian Republicans stand on the idea. I think what's going on there is that basically everybody in Congress is, with the exception of maybe a Nancy Pelosi and a few others, everybody's mostly kind of staying quiet, waiting to see, you know, what's going to happen.
I just heard that there was a member of the Cato Institute, libertarian think tank, that had taken payoffs from Jack Abramoff to write favorable articles.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right about that. I did read that too.
Yeah, and so another thing I want to talk about the legalization of drugs. I personally believe that, like, drug addiction is a medical problem. It should probably be handled best by the church, the family, and the medical profession. But I've been out in the mountains here in Colorado, and on two different occasions I've ran across abandoned methamphetamine labs and the cans and chemicals and stuff. And this stuff just gets dumped in the river or whatever like that. Now imagine, like, a young couple starting out with their first family, and their little six-month-old's crawling around on the carpet, this and that, develops respiratory problems, sores on their skin. We'll come to find out that the house was used as a meth lab just before they moved in and never cleaned up. Now, if these harder drugs were legalized, manufactured properly, the toxic waste wouldn't be an issue.
Yeah, but you know what? People's health would be an issue. And we live in a society here. We live in a country here where the amount of money we spend on health care is very inefficient. Mm-hmm. It's just a wrong-headed, bad idea because it's poisonous to the body and it wrecks people's health. And people are going to have to rely, and methamphetamine users, by the way, are not, at least the ones I've run across, this is anecdotal evidence, but the ones I've run across who are heavy users don't hold 9-to-5 jobs and sometimes engage in a lot of crime and some of it very violent. I just don't think it's a good idea. And I think that using, pollution of the ecosystem and particularly rivers and all that kind of stuff is a poor argument.
Well, the same thing happens down in, like, say, for example, Colombia, where they refine cocaine. All that toxic waste is just dumped into the stream. They don't care.
Yeah, but legalization of drugs is not a good, the pollution of streams is not a good argument for the legalization of drugs. There are a lot of things that pollute streams, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of damage that's being done. It's just not a good argument. The damage that that the use of hard drugs does to society is considerable.
Okay, one last point here is when people get involved in these scenarios of, like, hard drug use and stuff, they probably don't move into that space from a good place in their life. They're probably very... what I wonder is what pain it is they're medicating, and long after the ramifications of what it is they started using drugs for to begin with would have been gone, the drug use and the addiction becomes the new tragedy. And why should you have to go to prison, like Joseph Biden says on his website? It's, you don't need to be a rocket scientist to figure out the treatment works.
Well, I'm all for that, and I agree with you 100%. But you know something?
Yep.
You want to get on a subject that's lost in this country?
What?
Get on the subject of mental health. Do you know how expensive mental health is in this country, and not everybody can afford to go? Trust me, I've been paying for it out of my pocket for years.
I've been a nurse 22 years.
Health insurance doesn't cover it. Health insurance doesn't cover it. So, I mean, until you change the system,
Well, that would start with us.
It would start with the federal government that has an unrealistic view and accepts campaign contributions from the health industry and such crazy ideas like Newt Gingrich had, because he had taken a lot of campaign contributions from the Golden Rule Insurance Company, which he at one time advocated abolishing the FDA.
Yes. I mean, healthcare in this country is a snake oil sideshow, and it's a joke, and it's very sad. I think it ought to be included universal coverage like life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, or national security.
I agree. All right, man. Thank you. I appreciate the call, Evan. Call again. One line open at 303-713-7600. Let me go to Greg in Westminster. Greg, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Good morning, Jay.
Hey, Greg.
How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
Pretty good. I've got a couple points. I was wondering if you happened to catch any of O'Reilly on Letterman last night.
No, because I don't. You know what? I got to go to bed at like 7 because I get up at like 3 in the morning.
I was to bed early myself, but I've caught a bit of it, and it seems like David did a pretty good job. He actually got more political in what I've heard than I've ever seen before. He told O'Reilly at one point that he doesn't claim to be smart enough to argue point by point with him these issues, but he feels 65% of what he says is crap.
Well, O'Reilly is like a blustery Joe McCarthy light. And Keith Olbermann had him as the worst person of the day last night because, and Media Matters for America pointed this out too, he basically said, and I'm paraphrasing him, that the George Bush presidency was being treated unfairly by the media, and he singled out New York Times columnist Frank Rich, who's really a great columnist,
yep,
and Bill Keller, who's the editor of the New York Times, and he said that if they don't change their behavior, then we're going to have to expose their personal lives. And Keith Olbermann said, and I think this is true, Bill, no one cares about their personal lives, and on top of that, if everybody's personal life was exposed, you'd be working at a change booth at a video art.
Yeah, with the pot calling the kettle black.
I mean, O'Reilly makes me sick. And by the way, his show tubed miserably here in town.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah, I hear you, Greg. Thank
my
you.
My second point, the point I wanted to consider,
quickly.
I heard you guys talking about the mining accident and going beyond the media coverage. I'm curious to find out how much right-wing deregulation of industry, workplace safety, just about everything, played into this accident. How they could have so many violations and still be open. I've got to believe that that deregulation was complicit in this somehow.
I think it ought to be looked into. I think it definitely ought to be looked into how they got. You know, they claim, here's what they claim. Here's what this Hatfield guy says. He says that, yeah, they got gigged and that they recently bought the mine and that a lot of those things that they were cited for were cleaned up. But I'd definitely like to see an examination of that.
Yeah.
Because I'm not sure I believe him.
It's incredible how much we are supposed to believe that we can trust industry to regulate themselves.
Yeah, that's amazing, isn't it? The free hand of capitalism will save us all.
Yeah, right.
We'll all end up indentured poison slaves is what will end up happening.
Self-reporting.
You got it. Hey, Greg, thanks, man.
Take care.
All right, great call. One line open at 303-713-7600. Let's go to Eric in Denver. Eric, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Hi, good morning, Jay.
Hey, Eric, how are you?
To you and your listeners, you don't have to worry about staying up late to watch Letterman dig on a rally, which I saw. All you have to do is go to Crooks and Liars. It always has the videos. It's a must-go-to website.
Anyway. Definitely check it out today.
Yeah, that's where I saw it. I didn't watch it live. But, yeah, Letterman was actually serious with the rally. I was very taken aback. I'm also looking at probably the hottest blogger out there, Fire Dog Late, which everybody's linking to, and she has some information on Alice Fisher, who's Department of Justice, who's been on talking about the Abramoff scandal. Alice Fisher was a recess appointment by Bush because Carl Levin blocked her over her torture positions. She was a lobbyist for HCA before that, who, of course, is Bill Frist's family's company. And interestingly enough, she has ties to Tom Daley's defense team. So I don't know how that's not conflict of interest, but we'll see how that pans out.
Well, I think Judd Legum's got to go, who we had on earlier this morning, got a good point. I think John Nichols has a good point about this. She may have all of those ties, but there are a lot of career employees in the Justice Department that are involved in this. So it isn't like she has a single hand at what goes on. If anything, she may be basically their mouthpiece. That's number one. And then number two, this scandal is so big, and it's so huge, despite what the GOP wants us to believe that it isn't. And by the way, their spin on this is that it's a bipartisan problem, when in reality, it's not a bipartisan problem. It's a Republican problem, by and large. Yeah, as Nichols points out, a few Democrats are going to get snared in this. But basically, it's a Republican problem that this thing is too huge to try to cover up. It's too huge to manipulate. And the American voters, because I cited that CNN poll, you know, they're sick and tired of the corruption in Congress.
Jay, can I say one thing? I hear the music coming on. No,
yeah, sure.
I didn't think, I'm not saying that Alice Fisher's going to obstruct the justice. I just wanted to make those comments. But like as you were just saying about Abramoff, I think John Nichols was too bipartisan. I'm looking at the FEC files online right now. Abramoff gave 173,000 to Republicans, $0 to Democrats. By the FEC filings.
Well, yeah, but you know what? Harry Reid has admitted that he took money from them, and so have other select Democrats.
That's a question of Abramoff's clients also. I'm talking about just Abramoff himself.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about directly, Abramoff directly. You're right about that. You're absolutely 100% correct. But there's this whole thing about the money funneling from Abramoff, you know, through clients or clients who are hooked up with Abramoff, giving these guys money to get special favors. But you know what? Your point is really well taken. Eric, thank you, man. Great call.
Thanks, Jay.
Okay. All right, good call. See, you know what? We got smart listeners here, and people send me all kinds of good stuff, too, despite the fact that I complain a lot of times about some of the hate mail I get, and I do get it. And a lot of them are from liberals and progressives. By and large, though, people send me, like, a lot of really good stuff. And you can do that at am760.net, and I try to answer. By the way, if you send me a complaint email, and this is my new 06 New Year's resolution, if you send me a complaint email, if you do not sign the email, okay, I hit the delete button. If you sign it, and it's just not a provocative email, but it's a constructive criticism, I will answer it. 949, 50 minutes away from 10, am760, Progressive Talk.
AM 760, Progressive Traffic.
Should be able to get to where you need to go in and around Boulder. No delays heading out of town on the diagonal up to Longmont. Looks good heading out to Golden on 93. Turnpike in good shape to and from Denver. In Denver, we're doing a bit better now. We had that earlier stall cleared southbound at University. All lanes reopened, so we'll get back up to speed there. And the rest of the highway system seems to be doing rather nicely right now. I-70 looks good on both sides of the city. No worries on 2 1/4 across Aurora. And we're running on the high side on C-470 in both directions across Highlands Ranch. Boulder forecast, partly cloudy, high in the upper 40s, clear and breezy tonight, low 28. Sunny and cool tomorrow with a high of 48. Right now it's 38 degrees in Boulder. Good morning, AM760, Boulder's Progressive Talk.
From natural disasters to families in crisis, the Salvation Army is always there. Help the Salvation Army help others. Call 1-800-SA-TRUCK and donate clothing, furniture, and appliances today. The Salvation Army, doing the most good.
AM 760, the real story, 24-7 on AM 760.
Jay Marvin, 6 to 10.
Al Franken, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
That show, 1 to 4.
Randy Rowe, 48, the best.
Because then again, everything right. Is on the left.
Oh, I listen to Jay a lot. I love Ed.
Al's great.
Randy Rhodes.
Oh, absolutely.
I love it.
You're doing a great job.
AM 760.
Boulder's Progressive Talk.
People who can afford a LASIK procedure sure are lucky. Too bad everyone can't afford LASIK. Well, the LASIK Vision Institute is now offering dramatically low prices on high-quality LASIK. The latest FDA-approved technology for a fraction of what other providers charge. You can even finance it with 0% financing. Get a free information kit by calling 1-800-700-5075. That's 1-800-700-5075. 1-800-700-5075.
Happy birthday,
Chief! No, don't say it. I'm over 55.
So what?
Over 55. Over 55 is when you start wearing white pants and all-you-can-eat buffets.
Well, you're not the only one. Man in the shiny black Coit van celebrating, too.
Coit's over 55.
Yes! It's their anniversary this week, so they're offering 40% off any cleaning service.
40% off carpet cleaning?
Yes, and 40% off draperies and upholstery and air ducts.
40%?
With over 50 years' experience, Coit's the number one cleaning professional in the world.
If the man in the shiny black van's celebrating, maybe we should get him something.
You know what he'd like?
Shot a B12 in the fanny?
A phone call. Coit would just appreciate our business.
Call the man in the shiny black van today at 1-800-4COIT and save 40% on any cleaning service during Coit's anniversary sale. Carpets, draperies, upholstery, air ducts, even tile and grout. Plus, you'll get a free written and a 100% money-back guarantee. Call 1-800-FIT this week and save 40%. People you trust, trust Coit.
Think of how much cash you have in your wallet or purse right now. Now, double it. MileHighMarket.com has half-price deals from local retailers that would like you to try them. Double your money and get things for half price at MileHighMarket.com.
Have high oil prices and rising interest rates affected your wallet? Protect yourself and profit from this environment. Gold. Remember $800 gold? With gold currently trading around $400 per ounce, now is the time to act. Blanchard & Company, the largest, most respected dealer in rare coins and precious metals, can help you invest in real wealth. Gold has a special offer. Buy gold American Eagles from Blanchard at only 1% over cost. Call now, 800-794-2125. 800-794-2125.
You'll lose weight and keep it off or stop smoking once and for all with hypnosis. John Morgan Seminars presents world-renowned hypnotherapist Doug O'Brien at Red Lion Denver Central, Quebec Street, Tuesday, January 17th. Call 800-735-6907. 800-735-6907.
This is Randy Rhodes, and I'm coming up this afternoon, and right now you got Jay Marvin right here on AM 760 Boulder Aggressive Talk.
Hey, good morning. Well, that's twice I've done that now. Pays for horses. Did your parents ever tell you that? 9:49, 11 minutes away from 10 o'clock. Thanks for joining me this morning. High today, 50, partly sunny skies. AM 760, Boulder's Progressive Talk. One line open at 303-713-7600, and it's open phones here on AM 760. Let's go to Rich in Longmont. Rich, hi, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Yeah, how you doing there, Jay?
Hey, Rich, how are you?
Good. Nice to talk to you. Yeah, I wonder, what did you think of Ed Schultz getting all uptight about Murtha's statement where Murtha was asked if his people would join the military, if he would advise them to join the military today? He said, no, I thought he was just being honest, and given the current situation, not an unreasonable opinion, but Schultz got all uptight about it.
Well, I hear that. What I heard on Ed's show, and I identified with it totally, I said, you know, Eddie, man, I have been there. I guess he had a call from a woman about the FISA court in the NSA situation, and he called her stupid.
Yeah.
And he got a ton of emails on that. Now, you know something? I'm no lamb. I'm no angel.
Right.
I have occasionally lost my temper with people on this show.
Especially the trolls.
I've gotten hate mail about it. Not hate mail, but I've gotten people. You know, a woman said, I heard you bully that guy, and I'm not going to listen again, and you better change your behavior, and blah, blah, blah. You know, people who are behind the mic are just as human as people who are not. And even if we're supposed to control ourselves and we're supposed to be pros, every once in a while, just like a pitcher in a Major League Baseball game, you throw the wrong ball and you screw stuff up. So that's what I heard yesterday on Ed's show. And I really, you know, which would be wrong of me to do this, but I really wanted to call him up and I wanted to say, hey, Ed, it happens to all of us, man. I hear your pain. Pass. And I'm sure you had a really good, valid point about this woman not having her facts together and acting like a stupid idiot on your show.
Okay.
But I didn't hear the Murtha thing. I didn't hear go after Murtha. And I think what Murtha said, based on what you're telling me, because I didn't hear the interview with Murtha, I think what he's saying holds a lot of water in the fact that a lot of people judge the military, and particularly George W. Bush is, as being, screwed up. And there's a Military Times poll out, which I had on yesterday's show, which indicates that, you know, among the military, Bush is losing support.
Definitely. And I think Murtha was just telling the truth. I think if you ask a lot of these Republican types, they'd probably say that the same. If they were being honest, they wouldn't advise their kid to join the military today.
Well, you know, I think that's an interesting question. Maybe it's a question that, we should have asked this morning. I had all this stuff on the NSA scandal. I had all this stuff on Abramoff. But maybe, you know, that's something that we'll ask tomorrow. Maybe we should ask people, if you had kids, and if you got, you know, especially young children, and they're going to get into their formative years, and what do you say if they say, you know, I want to join the military? I mean, I've got a nephew who is 7 or 8 years old now, who is so bright. I mean, he is so smart. He reads. He's smart. But you know something? He loves the military. He collects all of those, what do they call those military figures?
G.I. Joe.
Yeah, he collects all those Joes. He's into all that stuff. I've never had the heart to sit down with him and say, look, Eli, you know, you really should consider doing something else. I don't have the heart to say that, but on the other hand, I wouldn't recommend to him that he do it. I'm not proud of the military, and I'm as patriotic as anybody else.
Right.
But I think until leadership in this country changes, and until, you know, Donald Rumsfeld and things shape up, I mean, in all good conscience, I couldn't, you know, advocate anybody joining. Could you?
No, sir.
Okay. And I think those people who are right wing, they hear you and I talking, right?
Yeah.
And so what they're going to say is Rich and Jay are anti-American, they're anti-military,
right,
and they're going to start down that road. But I think if an institution that has problems, you know something, you want to change those problems.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's a
well, that's all they got, you know, is to attack us personally. They can't attack us on the issues, and we know that. So as long as we stick together, we're gonna get better.
You got it, pal. Hey, Rich,
okay.
Thanks, man.
All right, my man.
All right. And cut Big Eddie some slack. Matter of fact, I'm thinking about putting Big Eddie on the show tomorrow morning. He'll join us to talk about the NSA and so to talk about Abramoff. So we'll see if he can get up at 7 o'clock in the morning. He's done for us before. I mean, he's been on this program as early as 6:30 in the morning. So we'll see if we can get him on at 7 or 8 o'clock and see what his tick is. And you know what? Unlike a lot of you, I don't listen to this radio station 24 hours a day because I got other stuff going on. But when I'm in the car, you know, you can rest assured I'm listening to Franken and I'm listening to Ed, and I'm listening to Randy, and I don't hear much of the Majority Report, and I don't hear Mike Malloy ever, because, as I said, I get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, so therefore I'm asleep by 7, and I'm not like John Turk, who produces this show, the young man that he is, who stays up until 10 or 11 o'clock at night and then rolls in here at 5 o'clock in the morning and, he's got his total act together. Let's go to Jeff in Summit County. Jeff, you're on AM 760. Good morning.
Morning, Jay.
Hi, Jeff. How are you?
Doing good. Doing good. Hey, I watch the news quite a bit. I watch CNN. I even watch Fox to see what the heck they're saying for, just for grins.
Oh, you're a brave man.
Well, you gotta know, hold your friends close, hold your enemies closer. but with that, where the heck is anything being said about all these things going on in the news? I don't see anything about Abramoff. I don't see anything about corruption. I see little tidbits of delay. I see very little of this. And if the Democratic leadership does not step up and jump all over this, then the American people, and this is what the Republicans count on, their memory spans are very short. They're sound bites. They're quick. And once it's over, it's done. And I see no one out there leading the charge, no leadership.
Well, CNN does cover it, maybe not to the degree that they should. There have been major articles in the print media about it. The Washington Post, the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal has got something about it today, I believe it is. But by and large, we were talking about this between 6 and 7 this morning. The media goes for the easy story. So when you have the mining disaster, which is a tragedy and a terrible thing, but they'll cover that thing wall to wall. And you got Abramoff yesterday, who gets popped, and they're not on it very much. I mean, it's very, very frustrating. And then you get people like Chris Matthews, who now I'm on this Annie Matthews crusade due to talking to Jameson Fosher yesterday for Media Matters for America, and they gave him the Misinformer Award. Last night, I didn't see this now, but Media Matters for America caught it and gigged it, and I got it in their email. Matthews is on the air yesterday saying that the Abramoff scandal is a small story and doesn't have legs to it. And now we find out from the Daily Kos, Greg Ostrovich sent this to me, that Matthews has got connections to Abramoff.
Well, that would figure. It's very disappointing, though, to see that. Like you say, it's in print, and I've seen it in some print, but most people are sound bites. And that's what the Republicans are counting on. Not everybody's going to read the Wall Street Journal. Not everybody's going to read the New York Times, Washington Post. People want the easy fix. And they want to, CNN, I'm very disappointed in all the news.
Yeah, I am too. Listen, I'm running out of time here, man, but the essence of your call is 100% on mark, and we got to pressure the Democrats to stay on this story, and we'll have more about it tomorrow. Hey, thank you, man. Have a great day.
Take care.
All right. That's it for this morning. Back tomorrow morning here at 6 a.m. Hey, thanks for choosing us here at AM 760.